let's start the show.
It's May 3rd, 2012. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. I'm Will Smith. We're back with the old theme. The wub-wubs are gone.
I'm glad that we stuck with that idea to run the dubstep theme for one more week so that we could freak people out into thinking that it was actually the new theme music.
Did you guys get angry letters about that? I got like angry Twitter messages from people who really don't like dubstep a lot.
A lot of people who still say they don't know what dubstep is.
Really?
I don't think it's that's cool anymore to say you don't know what dubstep is.
Yeah, people should know.
Just say you know what it is and you don't like it.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's apparently the acceptable answer.
That's the right place.
I'm aware of it and I don't approve of it.
Well, I think dubstep for our generation now is as rap music was for our parents. Do you not hear anything, Gary?
No. My cans are dead, man.
Headphones? Are you plugged in? That's a long cord. Huh, that's weird.
Why is dubstep rap?
There you go.
Because something new. It's a new kind of music that has evolved and come out prior to the late 70s, early 80s. That was something our parents had never heard before.
Maybe it's just us being old.
I think dubstep is not going to have the lasting influence.
You never know.
Rap.
I'm sure they said that about rap in like 1988. Maybe those headphones are bad. There's another pair right over there, Gary.
Yeah, I'm going to grab another pair of headphones.
Grab a fresh set of cans.
Hold on.
Just unplug and take it with you. So what's going on this week with you, Norm? How are you doing? Avengers this weekend.
Avengers times three.
You're going to see it three times?
I already have tickets to see it three times.
Hmm.
It's one of those things where I commit to see it three times. If it's terrible and there's not a very high chance that it will be terrible, then I'll just watch the one time and suck up the cost.
What, so you're not going to come with us on Saturday?
If it's terrible.
Thanks, man.
Also, I have your tickets.
Better, Gary? How does that sound?
You're hearing?
Okay, yep. Good. So we should toss those headphones.
Very little chance of this movie being terrible, though, based on everything we've heard so far. Right?
Yeah, if it's terrible, it's the world's greatest conspiracy.
I'm still so annoyed that I still need to see Captain America and Thor to feel like I'm fully caught up.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for me to do that. It's not easy to rent them online.
No, at all.
Someone flipped a switch, so they're like on the various different online services, you now have to buy the movies. So I think that's a very cynical move to try and gouge the fans.
Right. It's
into
not like
purchasing
they were
the movies to fill in any gaps that they
never
may still
rentable.
Have.
They were. You could rent them on Amazon and on Apple TV before about a month ago.
I'm going to do a last. There's some weird. Like I think YouTube actually has a system now where you can rent movies, right?
You can,
I think you can get Captain America that way.
Okay.
But I still have to fill in the Thor blank. And I don't know where to get, because again, I'm not willing to just buy a movie blind just to fill in this gap.
How much is renting a movie? It's $5.
You could just go to Wikipedia and read the plot summaries and be done, in and out in like 5 minutes.
No, I know people would do that. It's terrible.
It's a bad. I've done that with video games before.
You know, let's have a random conversation about that. I know people who don't like intense movies. They don't like horror movies, and so they go to the Wikipedia.
Are you talking about Wes?
No, not Wes.
Okay,
Wes is fine. Who read the Wikipedia description of movies just so they can get a sense of what they're missing out on, especially if movies have plot twists, like, for example, Saw. You know,
I'll do that sometimes. If it's a movie I don't care enough to see, but I'm intrigued about a plot twist or whatever, I'll just read up.
Well, if you don't
it.
Care enough to see it, it's not because, you know, you're afraid of being too tense. Now, take this a step further. The person I know who does this, not only will they read the Wikipedia page, and I can understand if you don't, you know, if you don't want to watch a movie, don't care to see, but you still want to be, you still want to have a conversation about it. But they also read the MPAA ratings.
Now that's weird.
To find out exactly what the scenes are, how many scenes of intensity or drug use or adult content.
I don't take it to that.
That's
level.
That's a bit much.
That's kind of nuts.
I did that the other day because I saw that Myst 5 was like $3 on Steam or something, and I thought, man, this wraps up the Myst saga, which began in what, like 1992 or something, 95. So maybe I should play
I remember as I fell into the fissure.
Maybe I still love that. I was still one of the great video game openings.
Yeah, well, like
perhaps the ending is not yet written.
I want to know why the puzzle island existed and why all the people were there.
It was lost before there was Lost.
Right, exactly. And but there's three I didn't realize
and it was
games.
Really it was a phenomenon of a relative scale. You remember Myst was the first huge computer game.
Yeah. What it was like Doom and Myst were the two things people talked about. So I thought, maybe I'll play these other three games, Myst 3, 4, and 5, and find out what happens in the Tale of Uru. And then I just decided I'd go to the Wikipedia page and kind of get the summary.
As much as those games were impressive for what they were at the time, I always found those worlds too empty.
They were impressive because it was rendered, you know.
Oh yeah, it was all part of the advent of CD-ROM, right? When that made all these new
things possible. Media. And they were all ray traced or something, right? It was some crazy rendering thing that could never be done real time, and now you can play it on your
phone. But they did it in real time. There was Real Myst.
No, and now Real Myst runs on your iPad. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there we are, full circle.
I don't recommend reading just the Wikipedia pages or the plot descriptions for either.
No, I want to see the movies.
Should watch the movies.
I'm just annoyed. Maybe this is Marvel punishing me for not being enough of a fan for seeing the movies when they were in theaters.
So I saw Thor in theaters and then I didn't see Captain America in theaters, and I don't really regret either of those because neither of them were as good as, say, you know, your Iron Man or your, Iron Man, I guess, which is the one that I really like of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, it's the best one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie. And it's not just a good superhero movie.
Yeah.
So Galaxy S3 announced this morning.
Okay.
Yep, the Samsung's Galaxy S3.
So this will sell millions, right? Because it's the sequel to a phone that has been hugely successful.
They're going to sell, like, no matter what they do with this phone, they're going to sell a lot of them. It is a big, big phone. It's almost 5 inches. I think it's a 4.8-inch screen. It's the Super AMOLED that they use on everything. 720p screen.
Is this the top-selling Android phone? The Galaxy S?
I don't think so. They put it in
the Galaxy series, probably.
I actually think the Galaxy S2 probably was. It's one of the
What would the other contenders be?
Yeah, it's HTC's not selling that many phones.
Droid?
No, they're not selling that many.
It used to be the Droid one.
Samsung. If you look
then
worldwide,
it's
got to be Samsung.
Incredible.
But that was two years ago at this point.
I got to tell you know,
it was before, and then it was Galaxy
S. Yeah, I think Galaxy S probably.
Just anecdotally, you know, my anecdotal experience walking around in the outside world, when on the rare occasions I actually do that, it does what I see now in people's hands. It does bear out, you know, kind of the market share pie graphs. You see a lot of iPhones, but you really do see a lot of Android phones out there in the wild these
days. You do, but we're in San Francisco
too. And Windows phones.
Yeah.
It's often difficult to tell what someone's got. If it's not an iPhone, obviously the case is so distinctive, you know immediately.
Right, you can see the metal band.
But when it's something else, you actually sometimes have to see the screen before you know if it's an Android or a Windows phone.
Well, it's because, you know, Samsung and HTC and Motorola make all those phones for different OSs. So a Samsung Focus and a Samsung Galaxy S kind of look the same.
No, not at all.
They have similar
the focus the second gen Focus did, maybe.
I can't tell the difference. I mean, you know, they're these different variations of these generic phone cases.
You know, Norm and I saw an Android tablet in the wild at SCAA.
Now those are rare.
Yeah, no, I'd never seen that before.
I've seen lots
Train
of Kindle
or whatever.
Yeah, the only time you ever see non iPad tablets these days are in TV commercials where they want to show someone using a tablet, but
Kindle
it can't
Fires.
Obviously be an iPad. I don't see.
I see a fair amount. You don't ride the bus much. I see a fair amount of Kindle Fires on.
Well,
Bart
I think
and,
it's
and,
people
and
are
train.
More comfortable reading with a Kindle Fire or a Nook Color.
I've never seen the Nook. That's the story I remember is Microsoft buying into the Nook. I'm sure you've got that on your list.
I don't have it on the list.
Oh, okay. Well, you fucked up, dude. Yeah, that's a big story.
I'm comfortable leaving that
Someone
off the
Someone done messed up.
You don't think that's a relevant technology story?
I think it's
Microsoft buying a big chunk of the Nook platform?
Did they buy a bunch chunk of the Nook platform, or I thought they just signed in as partners or whatever?
Yeah, there's some kind of big partnership.
Yes, they did. They actually spent
They invested in Barnes & Noble.
Tons of money.
Okay, I'll add it to the list. Nook stuff invested in,
but yeah,
I think seeing how the sausage is made right here.
I actually think I've seen
and
more.
It's a shit sausage.
Oh no,
why is it a shit sausage?
Because this is just, you know, just shows how bad we are at
have
our
you
jobs.
Had lunch yet?
I had a big breakfast, which we can talk about later.
Okay, so Galaxy S 720p 4.8-inch AMOLED 8 megapixel back camera 9 megapixel front camera.
So you said before that this is the screen's bigger than Galaxy 2.
It's bigger
right?
than the Galaxy Nexus. So it's way bigger than the Galaxy S2. But the Galaxy Nexus was, I think, the outside edge of what I would consider to be a phone that I would put in my pocket.
But this isn't setting a new standard yet for – it's not the biggest Android phone or anything.
Well, no, because like the Galaxy Note and there's stupid stuff like Streak and all that.
I actually think the Note is kind of in a category on its own. They've created this kind of hybrid category. I wouldn't call that the biggest phone, even though it is like a dedicated just a regular.
It's more
Android
like a mini
phone.
Tablet, you think, or well, it's its own thing.
The Streak, the Dell Streak 5,
but that's
that was 5 inches. But that
I got into an argument online with a bunch of people about this, where I think you know
Wait,
you
really?
See pictures of people holding.
Yeah,
I know. Hard
people
to
argue online
when you hold the Galaxy Note up to your ear as a phone, it looks kind of ridiculous.
There's a lot of things we do on a daily basis that look ridiculous.
But I try to minimize them as much as possible.
Well, you don't have a Galaxy Note.
To me, it's one step away from side talking. Remember that?
Nokia. Thanks for that, guys.
Nokia. Thanks
was that
lot.
Nokia? Yeah.
Nokia.
Okay, what else? NFC, 16, 32 gigs at launch for the global versions, 64 gig coming later. It has a big battery, 4G in markets that support it, and it has a bunch of silly features that they've added.
When's the U.S. launch?
No idea.
Summer.
Oh, they
North
said
American
they said,
in the summer, 4G, May for European.
So if you were going to get an Android phone,
I'd get a Galaxy Nexus.
You'd still get the Nexus over this. Okay.
See, I think the launch was super anticlimactic because, one, the Galaxy Nexus launch was delayed. If you remember back in October, there was supposed to be an announcement for the Galaxy Nexus. Everyone was waiting for that. It was going to be at the CTIA event in San Diego. And then they had postponed it. All the invitations were canceled. They announced it in China a few weeks later. And I think the Galaxy Nexus has been selling well. It's the first big, you know, LTE phone that the battery doesn't suck as much as the Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
And I think it's done fairly well. I mean, it was sold out for a long time and people still buying it up.
I see them out in the wild,
but
anecdotally.
The Galaxy S3 is the one that Samsung has more control over. And they get to put their own software on top of it, but they're really, I mean, it's only been a few months since the Galaxy Nexus launched, so there really couldn't be that many differences between the Galaxy Nexus and the S3. There are differences. It's a bigger battery. It's slightly thinner.
Is it curved?
It's a little bigger. I think it's curved. But I think the big stuff here is their software. It's come out now, you know, iPhone 4S has been out for a while, and now they're really pushing their own natural voice control.
You Siri?
They don't call it Siri.
Oh.
It's called S-Voice. And they have, you know, this eye tracking technology in the front camera. So it knows if you're looking at the screen, so it doesn't dim the screen. Like, you know, if you're reading something on your tablet, your phone, and you have to touch the screen periodically to make sure it doesn't dim. If you're just reading it,
that's the one thing that sounded cool.
Oh, that is cool. I like
so
that.
So now it'll know if you're looking at it, and then
it won't use a ton of battery
and won't dim the screen. It's a 2100 milliamp hour battery, which I think is like 300 milliamps more than the Galaxy Nexus, but who knows?
Well, without 4G,
that means nothing unless, you know, until we actually get a chance to use it.
Well, so the thing about the big giant battery is on a 3G phone that could give it crazy good battery life, right? But I mean, nobody's going to buy this without a 4G in the US at least, because AT&T will have it on 4G, Verizon will have it on 4G.
Yeah,
if Verizon even does the phone.
So you said, maybe you said this earlier and I missed it. What flavor of Android is this phone going to run?
It's 4.0.
Yeah.
It's ice cream sandwich with, I don't think they actually said TouchWiz, but it's TouchWiz.
But wait, so is that ICS?
ICS.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Last thing, the voice recognition was the one that killed me. The take a picture. Who's ever going to tell the phone to take a picture?
Nobody.
I mean, maybe if you have it propped up on a tripod or something, you're like 10 feet away. You say, hey, take a picture. And then it takes a picture as your
mouth is open. I mean,
that
could function as like a little remote thing. Yeah. To take self-portraits or whatever.
So
all of these seem like battery-killing features, though. Like the face recognition thing is going to destroy battery. The voice, always-on voice recognition is going to be brutal on battery.
I think a lot of what we see these days,
quad-core CPU,
and not just in phones, but just in technology in general, is companies, developers, manufacturers, throwing features into technology without a lot of thought of like what people actually want and how they use it.
You can tell from the keynote that at least the Samsung executives are really trying to push experience because they know that experience is more important than specs, but they still go back to the specs. So they'll say
they
three sentences about how fun it'll be to use and how easy it'll be to use.
They actually said it's designed for humans.
And then they'll meet, you know, in the next sentence they'll say, okay, by the way, it's also 133 grams and 8.6 millimeters thick.
Yeah. So it's like they got the spec monkey on their back and they can't knock it loose.
Yeah.
They just got Jones in for the specs.
It's a tough thing to I mean, what else are you going to say? I mean, like, yeah, it's super light. I mean, but at the same time, you know, the numbers are meaningless until you actually put it in your hand and see how it really feels.
So the other thing that a lot of people who were at the event or who were watching it live said was that it was a really Jason Cross at PC World, who I'm going to call out on Twitter, said that the event was so bad it made him actively dislike the phone. They said it was made of earth, wind, and fire.
Oh, dear.
Inspired by nature. Recorded water drops for sound effects.
Designed by use for real humans. It's just like a marketing nightmare. I don't know. And for the last 6 months, I've been telling us how amazing styluses are, and there's no stylus on this phone. So I don't know what to feel. Their marketing message is very, very all over the place. I'll be interested in the phone. I'm, you know how we feel about Android phones with custom skins. So, next up, anything else on Galaxy?
So that was I think that was probably at least the second biggest mobile announcement this week.
At least they didn't call it the Galaxy S2, the new Galaxy S2. I mean,
they could have done that.
Or they could have called it the new Galaxy S or something dopey like that. Well, I mean, everybody makes marketing.
Well, I think Samsung at this point, more than any other company, is so desperate to be the anti-Apple. I mean, they've got the whole marketing campaign, right, is very – they're actually doing kind of the equivalent of negative ads.
Yeah, don't
Apple.
Stand in line for our phones.
Right. Would you see this other thing now where they hired people to stand outside Apple stores with signs that say, wake up?
That's a good segue. So that was attributed to Samsung, and it actually wasn't Samsung. So I think it was in – Australia that they did this?
Wasn't it like an agency that they had hired or something?
There was an agency, and all these, most of these stunts could be blamed back to these creatives, these ad agencies.
Did you air quote creatives?
Yep, capital
okay,
C.
That's important.
The people.
They paid actors to dress in you know, black t-shirts and come out in a van and have a fake protest to tell Apple customers to wake up from their their meaningless lives.
Little did they know that Apple customers are just there to make free international long distance
calls. Somebody pointed out, again, on a message board, I thought there was a really good idea. I certainly don't claim credit for myself. I can't remember who said it, though. A cool thing to do now would be for someone else like Samsung to remake the 1984 Mac ad, but with Apple as...
They tried
now
that.
Apple is Big Brother.
They tried that.
Oh, they did?
The Super Bowl commercial. Motorola tried that.
Oh, they did?
They did.
How'd that work out?
It was bad.
Remember, we laughed.
It was a really bad ad.
I don't remember. Oh, maybe I do remember.
It was like
now.
The row of people with the white earbuds, and they're all wearing white.
Oh, yeah. It was a good idea. Good idea in theory. Maybe the execution wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't directed by Ridley Scott.
Yeah, well, that's what you need.
And they played it over and
He's
over
busy.
Again.
Yeah.
So the stunt, the wake-up stunt, was actually paid for by RIM.
Really?
Research in Motion. Oh. And that, I think, is the bigger mobile...
Funny.
Device news this week,
because that's on like number 5 or number 6 on my list.
It's RIM is back in the game. BlackBerry 10 was announced this week.
They've announced a lot of OSs in the last few years.
BlackBerry 10. They had BlackBerry World in Florida 2 days ago.
Was it at Disney World?
I don't think it was at Disney World. No. And they showed off a completely new BlackBerry interface that's based off of the QNX.
So the same stuff
UI.
As the playbook.
It's similar to stuff in the based on the stuff that's in the playbook, but not exactly the same.
Happened to the playbook? Is that just dead now?
No, they're still
they
supporting
it.
And there's no LTE on it, but they will have one later this year.
And it has an email client and everything now.
And it's kind of cheap. It's actually pretty affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people, you know, occasionally people ask us to go back and revisit it, and it's in a drawer or a box someplace in storage or something.
I had completely forgotten about it.
If people want, if you want to hear more about it, then post
it
in
ran
the comments
flash
and we'll look at it
well.
Again. No, it ran Flash. I wouldn't say pretty well.
It ran Flash.
So we keep reading all these stories in the news these days about how RIM is moribund and they don't know how to get out of this problem that they're in, and they're getting attacked from all sides, and they're going to go extinct.
Canadians are turning.
I think they've acknowledged that their theoretical market is smaller. They really just care about retaining and exciting the enterprise users.
Right.
They're not going to go for everyone.
So they've given up on consumers
given
and
up,
entertainment, and
but
that
they're going to focus.
I think they're going to refocus on the market they still have to keep it before they try to expand.
So they're just digging into their core market, right?
Blood
from
the turnip, man.
They finally caved to full touch for their phones, and BlackBerry 10 will be primarily touch. It's not like they're going to get rid of their the physical keys on some of their phones. But
well, I would say the physical keys are one of the few reasons why people that like BlackBerries still stick to them.
You see those ads, right? Have you tried touch? Have you tried? Who else can write 1,000 emails on their phone? You need a physical key for that.
I can write 1,000 emails on my phone.
I know. I mean, I know people. A friend of mine has an Android phone, which is a slider with an old keyboard on it, and she will say like, "Yeah, I just need this." There are some people that are never going to make that jump.
It's like a security blanket.
Yeah.
This point,
I think the blinking light, the notification light, is more important than the keys.
Yeah, and the holster.
If my phone had a blinking security light for new alerts and emails, as opposed to the vibrating phone. That would probably solve my the ghost phone syndrome. Pocket.
I mean, the thing for me though is is that I get so much email and most of it's junk, most of it's stuff I don't need to look at, that setting up rules to make the light fire on stuff that I actually need to see versus stuff that I don't need to see was way more of a hassle than just looking at the phone every 30 minutes. What could I do, Norm?
You could give up on the internet for a full year.
That's a great idea. I think that we should all do that. I think the weekend internet killing. Are we going to talk about this really? I didn't put it on the list on purpose. Okay.
I would be more impressed if someone came out and said, "Surprise, I had already given up on the internet for a year, and here is my tale about it."
I gave up on the internet a long time ago.
As opposed to, "Hey, this is what I'm going to do."
Yeah. Well, I've done stunts like that before. We've all done that. I used Linux for a year. That was miserable. I mean, I like Linux, okay, but I couldn't play games and I couldn't use Photoshop. And basically everything I learned everything that I needed to know within about the first 3 weeks to know that, yes, here are the problems I'm going to have.
I heard about the dude that says he's going to sign off the internet for a year.
Yes.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I mean, I know they have a big staff over at The Verge. So Paul at The Verge is stepping away from the internet for a year, as it seems like kind of a stunt. I don't want to call it a stunt.
I think it's a bit of a pay attention to me type deal.
Yeah. So he's like filing stories via USB drive and not using the internet. And I guess he's killed his internet at home.
For the publicity stunt, what is the point?
I think it's the publicity stunt.
It's an arbitrary restriction. It's like saying, you know what? I'm going to hop around on one leg for a year just to see what it's like. What a waste of fucking time.
Well, no, I think it's dumber than that. Because if your job is to work at a technology blog and write about technology and you don't use the internet, you're basically crippling yourself and saying, "Hey, I'm going to be unable to do my job."
Right,
very well,
exactly.
For the next year.
It's a pointless thing.
You could hop around on one leg and still execute your job pretty well if you're working at a technology blog, I think.
Yeah, okay, so actually, yeah, what he's doing is actually dumber than hopping around on one leg.
Yeah. Whatever floats their boat. He'll last 3 months and then they'll have to
I don't think they can go back.
Well, the thing is, it just means it's a lot of work for everyone around him, right? Because instead of him being able to do his shit and uploading to the CMS and all that himself, he has to give somebody a thumb drive and then poor bastard intern has to type it in and find pictures for him and do all the
he's just basically making himself a pain in the ass for everyone else that works in his office.
Well, but the nice thing is his job's going to be a lot easier for the year. So I think this is a great idea. Norm, I'm not going to use email for the next year.
Okay.
Or I am.
Okay.
I'm only accepting messages via carrier pigeon. I thought that story was really interesting a few weeks ago. So anyway, BlackBerry OS 10.
Yeah, so what's the deal with BlackBerry 10?
When is it coming out? What are there going to be new devices for it? It's all new devices?
So they gave the developers who attended the BlackBerry World a early alpha unit, and which is not indicative of any real hardware that might come out.
Is it just like a bold shell?
No. It's completely new. It has a weird, I think 1280 or 1280 by 768 resolution screen. It's full touch, and it runs early BB10 software, but not with the full UI. They call it Cascades. Okay. But it's for designing apps.
So you can build apps.
And so you can build apps and test your apps on touchscreen.
Do they have some sort of plan to make it easy to port apps from Android or iOS or something like that? Or do they not talk about that?
No, they want people to develop in Cascades.
Well, that makes sense, except for, fourth platform. So, okay, well, that's, I mean, I guess they're primarily looking at people who are building custom internal corporate apps and stuff like that too, right? For BlackBerry stuff. It's interesting. I see.
I get depressed every time we talk about BlackBerry. I just feel bad for them.
Well,
like, even what must it be like having to show up at the RIM offices and work there every day, just surrounded by the constant stench of death?
Jesus, Gary. I knew that it was bad at RIM when Matt Braga started talking shit about RIM, because Matt Braga is Canadian. And,
yeah, and they don't say bad things about anyone.
Canadians, well, and RIM's a Canadian company, so RIM was the poster child for the Canadian tech industry for a long time, along with like ATI.
So
and
is this Patrox. Like if Seattle people start talking crap about Microsoft, then that would be a really bad sign.
It's not good. Not good. So we'll see. Hardware coming later this year, he said, right?
Later this year. October.
That's interesting. Yeah, we talked a little bit about Wall-E last week and scooters, you know, the cupcake in a cup and the people movers.
Mm-hmm.
And a reader sent me a link to a story today about how scooter sales in the UK are on a sharp incline, not just for people who are infirmed or have trouble walking.
It's good torque on the scooters.
But also for people who just want something to ride down to the market to get groceries.
By scooter, you mean like a Vespa type thing?
No, I mean like a rascal.
Oh,
like the George Costanza rascal.
Oh, okay.
They're calling them shopping scooters, and they're giving them, like, that's the category name now. So, like, because you can't afford gas because you live in London and it's really expensive, you have to pay £20 just to drive around.
Right.
You get the shopping scooter and you can just tool around on the sidewalk with your groceries, and they're tarting them up so they look like they're cool and not just for old infirmed people.
You know what I was thinking the other day is that in these times, it could now finally could be the time for the return of something like. And I don't know if you'll even remember this because it was a very British thing back in the 80s, the Sinclair C5.
The Sinclair C5 is the computer?
No, the Sinclair C5. So it's a Clive Sinclair,
okay,
who you should know of.
Yeah.
Who created, you know, he built some of the first digital watches and calculators and then, you know, built a computing empire with the Sinclair ZX81
and
the Spectrum.
Timex ended up buying him or something.
At the height of his fame and riches and popularity in the 1980s, he was kind of like a mini Steve Jobs. And he parlayed all of his wealth and success into a little, just Google it right now and pull up a picture so you can see what I'm talking about. Sinclair C5. It was a little battery powered, tricycle that you sat in and you rode around on it and it looked kind of absurd. And it was a big media story for a while.
It's like the kind of thing you buy for children.
But it was one of the kind of like the Segway after it. There was a lot of hype about how this was going to transform the way people moved around.
It's like
urban
these small,
areas.
Tiny Batmobiles that you buy at Toys R Us for children.
But it was embarrassing. And a few people bought them as a novelty, but it was gone very, very quickly.
This thing, you'd risk death riding in this.
Oh, I'm supposed to ride in the sidewalk?
15 miles. If I'm right in remembering, 15 mile per hour speed limit.
Yep. Top speed, 15 miles per hour.
Very limited range.
How much was it? But you didn't need a driver's license.
£399, I believe.
Wait, £499?
No,
$399. $30 plus for delivery.
Wait, £399, so it's like $700?
$750 back then.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, Segway is like $3,000.
And you can drive it unlicensed.
Why not just get a Segway?
Yeah.
Well, Segway's $5,000.
Segway's are they still super expensive?
They are still super expensive. We live, or will live, but we are about, you know, a mile away.
You're welcome to move in if you need
some
place to stay.
From the San Francisco Segway Company, the official Bay Area.
I still never been on a Segway.
Oh, we should go do a Segway tour sometime. They're fun.
Don't we have coupons?
Wait, we have
for
coupons.
That?
Those are expired. Holy crap!
I think we have a Groupon for a Segway tour.
It was a Yelp deal.
Park or something.
It's going to expire soon. We gotta do that.
I want to do it.
Yeah. The Segway is interesting. We saw a Segway competitor at CES that's a unicycle that you just put your feet on. And you put your feet on either side of the wheel, and it uses the same kind of gyroscope thing to keep you level.
The woman would not let us ride.
No, she would not let us.
Do you remember how when right before they came out, there was all this hype about how it was going to revolutionize the way people moved around?
Jeff Bezos, Steve Jobs.
They're going to have to redesign cities around. Blah blah blah. I don't know
that. It was that Time magazine article where he talked about almost having a psychic connection with the rider. So you think about leaning forward. It's like skiing.
Well, he is right about that. I mean, you lean forward and you go forward.
I get
really
it. It's a very clever device, but I'm actually really glad that it never really took off on a mass scale. Like, you see police forces and other tour companies.
Mall cops.
Right. They're useful for certain things, but I'm actually glad that we don't live in that Wall-E future where people – because the Segway actually is – the Wall-E future, because
we understand it's too much attention required.
Well, it's that we already live in a world where we barely move around anymore. We go up escalators, we go up elevators, we sit on chairs all day. Walking, the small amount that we do is like the last real exercise that everyday people still get. You take that away, and we're all fucked.
You know,
and you know, just 30 minutes of walking a day can dramatically change your
life. And the Segway, I'm pretty sure that if everyone was running around on Segways, you would see incidences of heart-related illness and obesity and stuff go way, way up.
Oh, yeah.
Because that thing about just a little bit of exercise each day, I think, has been proven to be true. And the Segway would eat into that, just that little bit of exercise that we get just from moving ourselves
around. They should give everyone a Segway but can only be charged by walking. Like you,
so you
walk,
drag it behind you?
You for every minute you walk, you get 1 minute of use on the Segway.
I believe that's called a bicycle.
No. So
it's a self-powered. Oh my God, we came up with an idea for a self-powered Segway that you pedal. To perambulate.
Peasants.
Technology.
Do you climb the escalator or do you ride the escalator, Norm?
Depends if I have luggage.
Okay, assuming you don't have like a rolly cart behind you.
Depends where it is and how many people are on there.
Coming out of BART.
Are you an escalator climber or an escalator walker?
Rider.
Let me tell you, if I'm getting off of BART and going to destination, I'm going to be walking after I leave the station. Escalator time is prime Twitter update time.
You just were on BART for like 25 minutes.
You can't. You have no internet on that. When you get off the train is when you first get internet.
You queue them all up and you boom, boom, boom.
And then once you're on scale, that
Gary escalator. So Norm's lazy.
Prime Twitter
Gary,
checking time, and then you walk to wherever you're supposed to go.
Escalator climb or escalator stand.
Well, I was just trying to think about what my elevator, escalator, stairs kind of cutoff is. You know what really bugs me? One of my pet peeves is
what grinds your gears.
One of those people that get on an escalator, on an elevator to go down one floor pisses me off.
Well.
Depends how far the stairs are away from the elevator.
Yeah, sometimes
it's like in a parking lot or whatever where the stairs are
there. No.
Like
use
in an
gravity.
Office building or
if
whatever.
If you're in a parking lot, like the Metreon parking lot, and you're even on the fifth floor or something, use the stairs that go down because gravity assists you. It's easy. It's faster.
Yes.
See, I almost always just use the stairs because, you know, why not? Up or down. Unless I'm carrying something.
If I'm like in a shopping mall or whatever and there's like one flight of stairs and an escalator, I'll take the stairs.
Sometimes the parking garage stairs are a little scary though. Like if it's late at night or something, you don't want to be in there. There's a hobo or something
in there.
Yeah.
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 Good place to take a piss though if no one's looking.
You know, I've done that before.
So it's you. You're the reason.
I rode a train. This was a long, long time ago, but I was stuck on a train coming back from a bar really late when I was dramatically underage and I got on the train, and there's no bathrooms in the metro in D.C.
Where is the worst place? What is the worst thing that you've ever done in terms of, like, really, really needing to go to the bathroom and, like, you – like, it was not a good situation, but you had – had to go. Wow.
Yeah, this was
– in a stairwell? Like,
no, just in the garage between two cars.
My brother went in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I aim for a drain, too. So, you know, really, went in the water at Pirates of the Caribbean?
When we were children, yeah.
Gross.
I pissed into a Mountain Dew bottle in the Pixar parking lot one time.
Wait, this must have been recent.
Recently. When was this?
Why a Mountain Dew bottle?
Why does it have to be recent? Pixar's been around a long time.
But why would you be in the Pixar parking lot if it weren't recent?
Because I was going to Pixar.
Uh-huh.
I was invited to go to Pixar to talk to some people.
Was it a can or a bottle?
It was one of those big 20-ounce plastic, wide mouth.
See,
bottles.
That's real borderline on volume too. You don't want to have to stop and dump and then go more.
I was driving to Pixar and I was stuck on the freeway because of traffic, and I needed to go.
Yeah,
and it got to the point where it was agony. It was absolute
when you feel
agony.
It in your back.
Oh, the kidneys!
So bad.
It was like a red hot poker. I just needed to go, and you can feel your sphincter just feels like just a
your urinary
ring,
sphincter,
just
I hope.
A ring of white hot lava. You want to go so bad. It's like really like just pissing myself at this point would be preferable
when you're thinking,
the agony that I'm in.
See, that's you never ever after the one time I never wanted to be in the position again where the thought went through my head, oh, I'd rather just piss myself.
Anyway,
than go through this longer.
I finally got into the Pixar parking lot, and the main building where I was going was still like a good couple of hundred yards away. And I didn't realize, as bad as it was sitting in the car,
until I stood up,
like I couldn't walk. The agony was so bad. And so I had an empty soda bottle in the car. And so, you know, I had a quick look around and I filled the I filled up the soda bottle. And what you realize is like halfway up the soda bottle, you're thinking, I don't know how this is going to go. Like, I don't know what's going to run out of space first.
Yeah.
Like, this could be real bad.
It's not a good feeling.
Because and once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah. When you're that full, you can't shut it off midstream. But as it worked out, I had about 20 ounces or whatever it was in there. It was my full bladder was about the same.
Mountain Dew.
It was Coke or whatever it was.
There could have been
was,
a real horror with the Mountain Dew
bottle. And then I just emptied the bottle into these bushes that were by where my car was parked.
Okay, that's good. At least you poured it out immediately.
What do you think I was going to do with it? Keep it?
Steal it and throw it in the trash?
Oh, that's bad.
No, I poured it out.
I see. Well, I don't know what you're supposed to do in that situation.
Come on. We've all been in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Everybody pees. Peeing is logical.
Yeah.
No.
Did you see the thing about that we posted about the 8-bit CPU guy, Kyle Houghton? Is his name, I think. He wanted to know more about how computers worked. So, you know, like we all have a pretty good understanding of how computers work, like practical understanding, right? Where
I haven't got a fucking clue.
No, but you know that like the CPU does the math that makes like DVDs decode and stuff like that, and the video card makes graphics come up, and you have to have memory.
On that level, I do understand it.
Like it's Lego pieces that you jam together into a box, and then a computer is there, right?
Right.
This guy Kyle wanted to know more, like how the registers and the processing units and all the different stuff in a modern CPU comes together to make math happen, and wanted to understand it on a more, say, electrical engineering or computer science level.
Okay.
So he actually went and figured out, with the help of some experts and a book from like the mid-80s, how to build an 8-bit CPU with wires and transistors and stuff like that on a breadboard. And he has this incredible spaghetti mess of wires on this board that he made and built a CPU out of it. I thought it was really a cool story.
What can you do with it?
You know, it's basically like a mid-70s era computer that can do basic math.
How's it compared to a calculator? Like
modern calculator or 70s calculator?
Either.
Probably faster than a modern calculator, a 70s calculator, vastly inferior to a modern calculator. The other interesting thing that came out of it, somebody posted in the comments, that you can actually buy FCPGA CPUs that are basically programmable. This is something that they originally started talking about in the mid-2000s, but it's basically a programmable gate array. So you can customize a CPU in software and then run the software on this device, and it hardwires that into becoming a specific CPU.
All right.
So people are using those to do like arcade emulation and stuff like that. Oh, okay. So rather than build a MAME machine, you just actually model the CPU and board from like an old Pac-Man machine, a RISC Pac-Man machine, run it on the FCPGA, and then you have the equivalent of the original Pac-Man machine running on this device. I thought that was pretty cool too. Scopa. What do you think about Scopa, Norm?
Meh. Not going to affect me.
You're not sharing your Facebook password with your employer?
Nope.
Okay, that's probably good. Gary, this doesn't apply to you so much. But in some places, and some industries especially, people are requiring that when you apply for a job, you hand over your Facebook password.
Yeah, I think it's outrageous. And I'm glad that Facebook came out against it.
Well, yeah, obviously Facebook's going to come out against it. But the federal government is actually working on it as well.
It's disgraceful.
A bill in process right now that will prevent people from having to share Facebook passwords.
What is the reasoning that employers give to get it, to demand
the same
access?
Reason they do a background check on people when they're hired. They want to see who your friends are, what you're posting, what your private stuff is, and know whether you're a good fit for your company. It's kind of sleazy, I think.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Schools do it too. I don't think that a lot of schools are requiring it for students, but for staff and faculty sometimes. So that hopefully will be illegal soon. It's unfortunate they picked a acronym that sounds just like SOPA.
Yeah.
So
SCOPA good.
SCOPA, yeah, SCOPA is a good thing. So be pro SCOPA. BuzzFeed scientifically went through and determined who had the worst comments on the internet. And when I say scientifically, what I mean is they looked at a bunch of comments on the internet and picked out the worst ones. And guess what it was? Guess what site had?
I'm going to guess YouTube.
Yeah, that's okay. You didn't even need to read the story. Like I was like, this.
I mean,
I saw the headline.
It is the worst.
Yeah, I saw the headline. I was like, okay, they.
I mean,
make
did 4chan
sense.
get included in this?
No, they didn't include like Underbelly of the internet. No, Something Awful. No 4chan.
Right.
Primarily
just the main big mainstream sites.
Is it bad? Is it negative comments per?
It's. I think.
User,
I think they were
video.
Looking for the cesspooliest.
Like quality of content, quantity.
So some of them were like they talked about political sites for racial epithets and things like that. They talked about tech blogs for general know-it-allness and kind of like lame attitude. And basically they decided that YouTube included all of the other things that were bad about the other comments, plus the fact that people are functionally unable of stringing a coherent thought together.
YouTube comments are just terrible.
This is why
that's why I like quietyoutube.com. Huh.
Yeah, you could turn off all the comments.
Well,
yeah.
YouTube by default, if you're not signed in, doesn't show comments anymore. Oh, so, like, my right? mom probably doesn't know there are comments on YouTube.
They're just awful.
That's why you want people to have a license to use internet.
I think this is why, yeah, I think this is why you should have to, you know, turn 14 and learn how to behave like an adult. Because the thing is, it seems like there's a real fine window there. Up until 13, people are normal. Especially men, young men turn 14 and turn into little monsters. And then 2 years later, they're fine. Yeah,
it's all those hormones.
Yeah, I remember what that was like. Copyright infringement case in the UK. So this was a, you know, patent, the normal copyright trolls. They're coming through. The upshot is a judge finally realized in the UK that IP addresses aren't equal to people. So he said, wait, hold on. This, what you're saying is that somebody in this house pirated a movie or whatever. I think it was ran a BitTorrent seed, basically. And he then said, but doesn't that mean that anyone else in this house could have been doing the copyright infringement? It doesn't have to be the person whose name is on the cable bill or internet bill, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that this has happened, I think, where somebody has said, oh, just because this person signed up for internet doesn't mean they didn't give access to someone else who actually was in violation of the law, and threw the case out. This was in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a nice precedent to be set.
Okay, good. Yeah, makes it common sense.
Yeah. Barnes & Noble. Microsoft put a bunch of money into Barnes & Noble.
We're at that point.
Where'd you hear that?
Oh, my goodness.
It was on the internet earlier this week.
The point.
Yeah, we've come all the way around. I didn't read the story because I thought it was really boring. So somebody else needs to.
Why do you think it's boring?
Every time Microsoft invests in a platform, it dooms the platform.
Okay, well, but isn't that in itself interesting then? That Nook is now doomed, according to you?
I didn't want to call attention to that because I figured it would probably end with me eating eggs. Nook, actually, Barnes & Noble's done a couple interesting things. They released a version of the Simple Touch with a backlight now, or not a backlight, but a front light. So you don't have to have the kind of hoopty case with a light or a clip-on light or something like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Simple Touch still is a Simple Touch, so I'm not so keen on that.
Microsoft put $600 million to buy a 15% of Nook.
I think when a player the size of Microsoft essentially takes sides in something that is as, you know, a bigger deal right now as kind of the ebook e-reader wars, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And you know, Microsoft has set a precedent for investing in the underdogs in tech. For example,
Facebook
Skype. When Facebook was just a new company, Skype, Facebook, obviously they had a huge stake in Facebook, and that's why Facebook uses Bing. Nokia, they invested in. And now Barnes & Noble.
Pretty big companies, though.
Well, they're big, but they're, I mean, in their field, Nokia not doing so well against Android and Apple, or against Motorola.
Or doing anything at all, really, at the time.
And with Windows 8 coming out, Microsoft wants an exclusive for Nook on desktop.
The problem with this is people are tied to, because of the way ebook DRM works, people are tied to platforms and devices. And if there's no Amazon Kindle app for Windows 8, then that makes Windows 8 tablets much less interesting to pretty much, you know, 66% or something like that of the ebook reader audience.
I think they'll have Kindle apps.
Right. I mean, obviously Amazon gets the value of having a platform. They put their app on everything. There's a Windows app already, I think. Or worst case, you can use Cloud Reader and use it in your browser. I just don't see the value of having I think it's much better to embrace the openness of your platform than tie into a specific ecosystem.
Speaking of,
especially when the ecosystem is kind of the bad one.
Speaking of Microsoft, did you not think Windows Live No More was a big deal either?
I didn't see that.
Okay. All right. Good job.
Yeah. I'm reading about science stuff these days.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, this is the old tested.
Who
cares about this stuff anymore?
Basically, I my rule on tech news now is if I read it, if I look at it, it looks interesting, then I make a note. And if it doesn't interest me immediately, I assume Norm or you will pick it up. But since I was the only one who did show notes this week, then, you know.
Yeah.
There we are. What's the Live No More?
The Windows Live brand is going away. Well,
that was like 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
I just saw it this week.
Oh,
it seemed like it was.
They said that when they announced the SkyDrive stuff and all that. Maybe there were just rumors about it.
Okay.
But it's just a branding change. Who cares? You're going to still have to sign in with what used to be called. What are they going to call it now? Just a Windows ID?
God knows.
A Bing ID?
Microsoft account.
Xbox ID? Microsoft account? Yeah. I mean, okay. That's fine. Chumby, Bunny Wong, who was one of the inventors of the Chumby, which I thought was quite nice device.
What was the Chumby like? That nightstand alarm clock thing?
It was kind of like a pre-smart. In the days before smartphones, before you know iPhone and Android, it was a thing that basically ran widgets on your nightstand.
Yeah, I remember. Sony came up with a version of it as well.
Yeah, Sony licensed it and did their own. It was a neat idea, but was very quickly supplanted by smartphones in that ran apps because they did everything that it did and were much faster and better.
Right.
But he posted – or he did an interview and talked about the lessons they learned as a result of the Chumby stuff, that it was really quite good and informative.
Yeah, you should read that. It's on Make interview. You did it with Philip Trone. And dude lives in Singapore now working on a bunch of other projects. But turns out it's not easy to design something cool, you know, pick a platform, software platform, and then not have $1 billion on R&D.
Yeah, I mean,
reach a mass market.
One of the examples he gave was about making injection molds. And he specifically said, look, Apple will spend $250,000 or $300,000 making 10 of these injection molds and throw out 9 of them just to make sure they have the one that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're running a company that has $1 million total cash and that's all the money you have to come to market and live, then obviously
that's part of the problem now. It's like when you get to the final table of the World Series of Poker, you know, the guy that's got the mega stack of chips, he's got the advantage.
He
can just muscle you out of every hand. And that's kind of what the position that Apple's in now.
But they don't need to be an Apple competitor. And I think the problem was timing. They had to choose Flash.
There weren't other platforms for
Flash
them to build on.
Before everyone realized Flash was going to be so great, it was cheap hardware on the inside. And it actually wasn't as hackable as people thought it was going to be. And also, it was before Kickstarter. I mean, there are a ton of Kickstarter projects that are just like the Chumby now that can reach directly to the people who want that stuff and not have to go through, you know, middlemen.
But there are actually a bunch of people having problems with Kickstarter now too, because there are people that are getting their Kickstarters funded at because the common wisdom on Kickstarter is that you put it for half of what you want to get, right? So that way, if you get a reasonable number of people that sign up, you actually do get to collect the money. Because if you don't reach the goal, all the money goes back to the people who pledge.
Right.
So what a lot of people are finding is that they're not able to make the device if they do it based on the half, or they give rewards that are too good, or they fuck up somewhere along the line with the rewards, and they actually end up losing money on the Kickstarter dramatically.
A lot of the Kickstarter projects now, now that people know that Kickstarter is an easy, relatively easy way to basically get free money, are just people who already have real products and they just need enough money to pay for the first production run. Because normally when you do pre-order stuff, they don't charge your credit card until after they ship the product. With Kickstarter, they can say, well, take your money now, get enough capital to make 1,000 of them.
Well, it seems like sometimes you get discounts and stuff like that. Like that lens thing, you paid, what, $45 for it instead of $70 or something?
They charge $45 for it.
Yeah, so
it's been great to see some of the high-profile Kickstarter success. And I think Kickstarter is a great thing. But I think part of the problem of the fact that it's become so popular is now everyone's diving in, and it's almost like – I mean, the market will regulate it, right? If it's a bad idea or people don't like it, then it won't get
the funding.
Or
a scam.
The cream will always float to the top in a free market, which is basically what Kickstarter is. But I don't know, it's starting to feel a bit like online panhandling.
Well, I know Ryan Davis was complaining about this on Twitter the other day, but we're getting a lot of people saying, hey, I have a Kickstarter out. And then you go and look at it, and it's like – it looks like a video that some dude put together in like 15 minutes.
Right.
And people are finding scams.
They will sink
Sherlock
to the bottom.
Holmes-ing scams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's growing pains happening there, and it'll work itself out, I'm sure.
When you invest in Kickstarter, you never get an actual share of the company.
Right.
So it's kind of
you basically get a fucking tote bag, like giving money to public radio or something.
Or it's a good way to get
Michael
Krasny. If it's a product that you already know you're going to buy and you believe in, and they have enough proof that that it's going to be a real product, then it's a cheap pre-order.
Someone else expressed the problem that that a lot of people don't actually, when they do these Kickstarters and they do the member benefits, like you get a free one of these and you get this and you get that, that they don't really figure out how much they're going to have to eventually give out to all these people, and the math doesn't always add up.
Right. Well, I mean, I know that's some people that I know are having that same problem right now. And then, of course, the other thing is that the product may actually be kind of shit when it comes out, because you're taking faith that they're going to actually make something that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the most popular Kickstarters in recent times is that Pebble watch.
Yeah.
That e-ink watch that I think got several million dollars.
It's like $7 million or something like that. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
People were super excited about it because of its potential as a platform as a iOS watch, e-ink screen, but it really can't do everything that think it can do. Like, right. It can alert you of phone calls, but not actual.
Well, just because of emails. Limitations in iOS.
Yes.
Intentional limitations in iOS. The other example of stuff that's weird on Kickstarter right now is I completely spaced out because I'm kind of wondering if people can hear Chloe drinking in the background. I guess not. Let's move on. You know, I found the best Wikipedia footnote ever this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you know... Basically, it's a timeline. The article is this timeline of the far future, right? So it starts at about 8,000 years from now and goes to the heat death of the universe. And it's all things that we know are going to happen based on astrophysics or geology or the combination of the two or... what was one other category?
Right, we know the sun's going to blow up at some point.
Right, we know we have like 3 to 5 billion years, basically, and then it's all over for the sun.
Right? Back in taxes.
Right. The footnote has to do with the heat death of the universe, which, depending on whether you believe different things, depending on whether like protons decay after a certain period of time, things like that, it could happen at a period of time in the future that spans a massive, massive scale. The scale is so large for this amount of time. It is 10 to the 10th to the 26th power.
Right.
So it's a 1 with 100 septillion zeros after it.
And this, of course, is why you can deposit a penny into your bank account today, go to the restaurant at the end of the universe, and the interest will have accrued so that you can afford the meal.
The fantastically expensive meal at the restaurant. Yes, exactly.
The pig that wants you to eat it.
It's a cow, I think.
Oh, actually. Whatever. But, I think it's like a – I don't think it's any particular kind of animal.
You said it was a steak. You look at my rump. It's nice and plump. I've been massaging it every day. And,
yes,
anyway.
But it's not a cow.
Okay.
Didn't look like one in the TV show anyway.
Well,
it looked more like a pig.
Zaphod's second head looked like a parrot in a cage.
Well,
in the TV
BBC
show.
In the 1970s. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, they didn't – it was the 80s, I think. But they didn't have that much money. So a septillion zeros, a billion is 9 zeros, right? A trillion is 12, a quadrillion is 15, a quintillion is 18, a sextillion is 21, and a septillion is 24 zeros.
Right.
This is 100 septillion zeros after the one. That's how big the number is.
Right.
It's a ridiculous
number.
It's
not 24 zeros, it's that many zeros.
No, it's yes, exactly. It's 100 septillion zeros.
Hmm. Is there not a number for 100 septillion?
Well, there's a number for 1,000 septillion.
Oh, okay.
But 100 septillion is 100 septillion.
Is that bigger than a Googleplex?
A Googleplex is 100 is 1 to times 10 to the 100th zeros.
So not.
So no, it's smaller.
A Googleplex is a Google raised to the power of a Google.
Yes, a Googleplex is a Googleplexplex is a Google raised to the power of a Googleplex.
Mad.
Yeah, there's numbers for everything. These are all incomprehensible numbers.
Yeah. You cannot comprehend these.
So the footnote is talking about 10 times 10 to the 26th, 10 to the power of 10 to the power of 26 years, right? This is when the heat death. This is the opening window of the heat death of the universe.
I didn't know there was a Googleplexplex. Did you just make that up?
No, it was on the bottom of the page that talks about the septillion.
Okay.
I found it this morning.
Okay, good.
The footnote is as such. 10 to the power of 10 to the power of 26 is 1 followed by 10 to the power of 26 or 100 septillion zeros. Although listed in years for convenience, the numbers beyond this point are so vast that they would be the same in whichever conventional units one could conceivably list them in, be they nanoseconds or star lifespans. So what that means is when you're talking about 10 times 10 to the power of 10 to the 26th years, the scale, the difference between nanoseconds and say 10 billion years, a star lifespan, is a rounding error.
Wow.
It's a lot of years.
Yep.
So we got a while before
that'll
the
heat fry
death.
Your fucking brain just trying to think about that.
Yeah. I said that. I was like, is this right? I had to go ask them. I was like, is this what this means? And they said, yeah, that's what that
it's
means.
More, it's more, it's larger crazy. Than number of brain cells you have. So you can't physically comprehend
is
it.
Is that true? I guess yes. So. We don't have septillion brain cells.
No. Maybe brain connections, cell connections, but not sexual cells.
Crazy.
It is crazy. Let's see. Project Glass, Charlie Rose saw Project Glass.
Last week. Yeah.
We didn't talk about it last week, though.
Didn't we?
No, we didn't.
Yeah, it's still not a real product yet. We'll wait till
until we actually have some. It's all interesting in theory, but whatever.
Okay. And then Amazon's making original shows.
Yeah.
Like Arrested Development?
Comedy shows and kids shows.
Everyone's jumping in now. Mm-hmm. Hulu's doing it. Yeah, Netflix,
maybe we should make some shows.
YouTube.
I want to be a producer. Can I be
YouTube's
a producer?
YouTube's doing upfronts now. I mean, that shows you just how much.
What are upfronts?
Upfronts are basically when the TV networks put together a big event, basically a showcase, where they unveil all their new shows, their schedule, their slate for the coming season.
A real physical event?
Yeah, they usually do them in New York City. All the TV journalists and advertisers and business people, all the people that are in the TV business that might be interested in doing business with the networks.
Like, you bring a pilot that you've made but haven't.
No. Not even that. No, it's they're in the middle of this right now, just like the schedule works in such a way that the networks right now are deciding what their shows for the upcoming season.
Okay,
that will start.
Fall.
Yeah, they're deciding that now.
Okay.
And once that's all decided, they'll do the upfronts. Once they know what new shows they've picked up, what new shows are going to carry over to next season, usually based on the new shows.
Yeah.
The new
shows.
So
they're
going
to look and
launch.
See if they have a hole to fill the Two Broke Girls slot with that came out wrong. So they're going to, before they decide if they're going to cancel Whitney.
Right.
They're going to look and see if they have something that they can put into Thursday night at whatever time Whitney's on.
That's a whole separate process. They're basically, they sit around and they look at all their new pilots.
Okay.
They decide which ones they're going to pick up and put on the air. And once they know what their schedule is going to be for next season, they have this upfront event, which is like a showcase where they show all these new shows and they have the stars of the show.
So they parade out the actors and do.
Yeah.
It's like Comic-Con, but with people who actually,
but primarily for the media buyers and the advertisers, the people that would do business with the network, they unveil their new products for the year.
Now
YouTube's doing it too, right?
And YouTube is now doing that.
That's crazy.
Which is, to the same buyers, which again is just continuing to blur the line between what we think about traditional television and internet television.
Speaking of internet television, so there's a rumor that came out this week that Hulu might require you to have a cable subscription.
Oh, yeah, I'm not happy about this.
To actually use the service.
You have a cable subscription, though.
What I find morally or acceptably is about what is okay for me.
Well, usually it's just about what's okay for you.
Well, Hulu is the kind of last, or the, I guess it's weird to call it the last
it's like if,
of it, cable cutting, but it really is one of the only services out there where you can actually not have cable. Legal services where you cannot have cable and watch television that is on TV.
It's like if we were suddenly taken over by a fascist government and they said, right, we're just going to take everyone who doesn't have the initials GW and put them in a prison camp. I'm not going to go, that's all right. Can't see the problem with that. Doesn't affect me.
What if you could bring five people that didn't go to the prison
George
camp?
George Washington. A-OK. Gear, what up? Also OK.
That's true.
you two are fucked.
I changed my name to George Witta.
George Wilson. Why would you need Witta? What are the good W last names?
Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson's General. Good.
They would have a system in place to ferret you people out. Yeah.
Hmm. What if you could bring five people with you that didn't go to the prison camps? What if you chose life or death over the five people? And you could, like, because your initials are GW, you have the power to bring five of your dearest friends and family. Would you be okay with it then?
I don't know. I'm getting confused about what this offer actually is.
Fascist government. If you don't have the initials GW, you go to the prison camp.
Right.
But if you do have the initials GW, you can bring yourself and five of your friends not to the prison camp. They don't have to go. You choose. You choose between the prison camp or no prison camp.
It's a bit Sophie's choice, isn't it?
Well, not really.
It was like in Deep Impact where you could bring two people with you, your immediate family if you were selected.
You have three kids. Which ones come? Do you leave the dumb
I still
one,
sometimes think that? I still sometimes think about that idea where if I could just kill half the people in the world.
Which half?
So in the Marvel Universe.
So that I could get a fucking parking space and wouldn't have to wait in line for Space Mountain quite so long.
Yeah. Well, I mean
but the chances are that half the people that you know could die. You're like your friends.
You mean you wouldn't be able to choose which half live or die.
Roll the dice.
It'd be random. Everyone but you would have to flip a coin to live or die.
Wasn't that a Gwyneth Paltrow movie?
I don't know, was it?
Really?
I think that was where she had to, like, she had a thing that like she could get whatever she wanted if she killed one person she didn't know who the person was.
No, you're talking about the box.
Yeah, the box.
That was Charlize Theron.
No, it wasn't Charlize Theron.
Cameron Diaz.
I get those two mixed up sometimes. Yeah.
Directed by what's his name?
Richard Kelly.
Richard Kelly from Donnie Darko. and Southland Tales.
Yeah. You could press the button on the box and you would get $1 million, but some random person in the world who you've never met would die.
It was a classic Outer Limits or Twilight Zone story.
And there was a twist, right?
It was an Outer Limits, I think. Right.
The twist is that the box.
Are you
going to
spoil? No spoilers.
Well, the twist in the TV show is different. In the movie.
Yeah. Oh.
What was the twist in the TV show?
Where they press the box to get the $1 million, but then the box goes to the next person, and they could be the person that died.
Oh, I thought the
person that it kills is the previous person in the box.
That seems right.
Yeah.
No victims there.
Right.
I guess that's it for me. Hold on, the Hulu.
So the Hulu thing, it's still a rumor, but Hulu is owned by not only VCs and big investment firm, but also the people who own the
Fox
content.
Fox and NBC.
Fox. I don't. Is
NBC
it,
was one of the original
ABC,
partners.
ABC,
not CBS.
And those network execs, they think it's the logical future. It probably won't happen soon, but they might have a system where if you have a cable subscription, then you can sign in and you get your Hulu shows.
Oh, man. So it'll be just like HBO
after.
Go and Xfinity. How
I
fantastic.
Mean, the problem is, I mean, you know, the cable towns of this world are seeing all this chatter about, quote unquote, cutting the cable. And they're not going to let that happen.
You know, if you wanted to do something that impresses me, fucking cancel cable. Right? I mean, that's what do you get out of cable TV?
Well, at this point,
I meet those hipsters all the time. If they don't,
there's a difference between I don't want to have a TV because blah blah blah, and saying I like watching TV. Fucking cut the cable.
I actually feel fairly confident at this point that I could cut the cable and live fairly happily. There's still a few weird outliers like HBO and things like that where I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, like the other shows that I watch, Mad Men or whatever, I can easily get those a la carte off Amazon Instant Video and things like that.
Well, if you're comfortable living 3 months behind everybody else, then you lose nothing, basically.
Because
You just wait until it comes out on DVD or
Blu-ray. Also move to Colorado.
Why move to Colorado?
Know where Eddie Bauer and lived a few years in the past.
I don't think that's... Is that a...
South Park joke.
It's a South Park joke. Okay. Very good.
Did you see that TV show? There's this clip about... it's from this British show. I forget its name, but it was a prisoner's dilemma or a game theory show.
Okay. I like those.
Where two people are put at a table and they collectively raise money, you know, to split. So you can raise up to, you know, £15,000 or £30,000 or whatever it was.
How do you raise money?
Well, you win. It's a game show.
It's like Millionaire or something?
Something like that.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. But the very final decision is that both the players have to make a choice. And the choice is you either take the money, you steal the money, or you share the money.
Oh, and is it it's the normal game theory thing?
If both players choose to share the money, then...
They lose.
No, if both, then they keep the money, share the money. Then if both players choose to steal the money, then they get nothing. And if one player chooses to steal the money and one player chooses to share the money, then the person who chooses to steal the money gets all the money.
Is there a psych out? Like, can you
and
ice
then
the
before,
competitor?
Before you make the final choice, you have like a few minutes to talk it out with the person you're playing with.
Why wouldn't you not, if you're allowed to confer, why not just both agree to share the money?
Because we could agree
and then I could –
Exactly.
Because
you don't show. You don't show
Are these people friends beforehand?
No. They're strangers.
Oh, then fuck that.
Complete strangers.
Everybody's going to
– I wouldn't play this game with either of you two.
But if everyone chooses –
both of you would fuck me.
How would you play it? So I'm right now.
You flip the coin.
Will and Gary, I have $10. If you both agree to share the $10, then you both get $5.
Do you have two $5 bills or do you just have a 10? Let's see the money. I don't think you really have $10.
If one of you says you'll keep the money or steal it and one wants to share, then the person who wants to steal will keep all $10.
Right.
What would be your strategy?
I say we flip the coin. One heads is share, tails is steal.
I hate to sound like an asshole here, but my decision would be guided less by wanting to get as much money as possible and more by what I just thought was ethically right, and I would share it.
If you want to choose to
fuck me over, then that's fine, but I'll be able to sleep at night.
Very admirable thing to say and do, but when you're on TV and
Howie Mandel is fucking with you
and the potential prize pool is, you know, $500,000 or $1 million or something.
Right.
You know, human nature is going to
See, at that point, when you're talking about amounts of money, especially I think the larger it goes, the easier it is to be driven by ethics. You can say, well, like, half of this is still a shitload of money.
It's true.
Well, I'm just being greedy if I want to try and take all of it.
But you've never watched Deal or No Deal, because the thing is...
No, people keep going long after they should cash out. I get that, yeah.
Yeah. So there's this video clip of the show. It's a real show. An amazing display of game theory where in the initial conversation, one person goes, okay... You know, we're supposed to have this conversation about whether we were going to steal or share, but I'm just going to tell you right now, no matter what you do, I'm going to steal.
Yeah.
But I promise you that I will give you half the money after the show. I promise you.
But then why not just agree to share it? It's the same thing.
No.
I'm going to steal. Because that means he controls.
I'm going to steal, Gary, no matter what. So
if you both steal, then no one gets it. Right?
So okay. All you can do is trust me. To say split, to split after, and you say split.
But by the way, just speaking of Deal or No Deal, just to you're right about the power of greed, because I used to fuck with people on that show. Do you ever see the episode where, like, halfway through, because they said to the guy before, like, what would you do with the money? And, you know, the family are there. And he says, oh, you know, there's a bunch of things, we pay off some bills, blah, 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 go on vacation. And my daughter's always wanted a pony. And they had obviously done a pre-interview, because halfway through, when he got up to a certain amount... Part of the banker's offer was they brought out a fucking pony and paraded it in front of this guy's daughter.
Oh, that's horrible.
And the guy kept playing and fucking lost it all. Well,
they always do. And human greed should never, ever be underestimated. That's why you watch those shows. You watch that so you can watch the guy and be screaming at them to take the $250,000. And then when the gold case turns out to be full of lead, then they walk away.
Yeah, I mean, that is pure Schadenfreude when that happens. It's like, you don't usually want to see people lose at game shows, but when they lose because of their own avarice, then they deserve everything.
But there was an interesting study about this the other day too, because one of the things that people have been studying is, you know, there's the idea in economics that people don't always make decisions that are rationally good for them. And there's been a lot of research about that. And one of the things that came out of this is that a lot of the decision-making basis, a lot of the way that people make decisions is based on grammar. So if you phrase a question one way, they'll give one answer.
Right.
If you phrase the exact same question the other way, they give the other answer. The interesting thing is when you talk to bilingual people, that bias goes away if you ask them in the second language, not their non-native language. But if you ask them in the native language, then they have the same problem.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. And it applies to this too. So if you put a non-English speaker, English is not the native language on Deal or No Deal, I bet the whole thing doesn't work.
That's very interesting.
Because they get to 20 grand. They're like, fuck yeah, I'll take 20 grand. We can go buy a pony.
Right.
I don't think a pony costs 20 grand. So, Norm, what happened?
So the person said, you know, I'm going to steal no matter what. And the other person was in complete disbelief. He said, no, why don't you split it? I can't trust you. I don't know you. If you're saying you're going to split it, just say split it. Time was up. They had to make a decision. The guy who made the first move immediately made his choice. And the other guy was given no choice, basically. I mean, he could...
If you say I'm going to steal, then your choice is either lose
or trust.
Yeah.
And he chose trust the very end, and it turns out
the guy
first hit share.
Yeah.
And they shared it.
Yeah.
Good.
This is a great example of game theory.
Well, so the only way to win game theory is to take the choice out of the other person's hand.
Yes.
That's the idea. It's the same thing as when I play paper, rock, scissors, and I would tell people I'm leading with stone. I always throw stone. And then the first thing they do is throw paper, and you bust out a scissors. Or if they try to double guess you, then you throw a stone, and you actually win.
Well, wasn't that classic, the classic odds game where there's like the three doors and
it's that if you can reduce the choice, remove one door, you always take the other door.
You always take the other door.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a great
Money Hall thing.
Yeah, the Money Hall thing. There's a great Wikipedia article about that breaks down all the logic of that.
But that's not a game theory thing. That's just statistics.
Yeah. And you always change. You always make the other choice.
Right. And on the face of it, it doesn't seem like you're increasing your odds, but you are.
You are.
Yeah.
Because you stretch it out to like 100 doors as opposed to three doors, and if you make a choice,
what was the name of that show?
Money Hall.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And people write into newsletters saying, "No, I can. You're wrong."
It was a Marilyn Vossavant thing. Was that woman who's the smartest person in the world according to the Associated Press? Or that she has a weekly column along with Dr. Gott in newspapers, and it was a continual source of conversation in that column. Whenever she had nothing to talk about, she went to the letters file and pulled out somebody who was bitching about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the upshot is you go from a 1 in 3 chance to a 1 in 2 chance when you remove.
I have a great book that I bought years ago. I think it's called Taking Chances. I think the subtitle is like Winning with Probability or something. And it's all about like how probability works in the real world, like everything from coin flips to roulette wheels, and like how, you know, educate yourself about how.
Always bet on black.
Works. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because there's more black spaces than anything else, right?
No.
Not on a roulette wheel.
Same
number as black and red, and then there's a 0 and double 0.
No, I mean, so a classic example of this, and everybody already knows this, is that, you know, black and red on a roulette wheel is not a 50-50 bet. The 0, and then they introduce the double 0 as well.
And there's a green space too, right?
That's the 0.
It's paying 50-50. It's paying off at 50-50, but your odds are worse than that. And that,
oh, right.
that little edge, that little margin is where the casino makes all its money.
Right.
Yep.
That's, yeah.
Okay. It used to be on a roulette wheel that the 0 was always there, and then the double 0 was added relatively recently because the casinos were like, "Well, we can shave this even more.
People aren't going to stop playing."
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what we've been testing?
I mean, we usually do, don't we?
I mean, it seems like a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was optional. I thought it was just part of the show.
Well, I like to ask.
Okay.
You know?
That's, I mean, it's nice.
I give everybody a feeling of kind of,
yeah,
you know,
the illusion of free choice. Will. Yeah.
Exactly. Norm, what have you been testing this week?
We shot a video this week with iPhone lens, and I think this is actually something that Gary you might like. It's kind of pricey, but it's all a clip. It's been out for a couple months now.
How do you spell that?
OLLOCLIP. It was a Kickstarter project. And this is the one that you mentioned earlier.
I alluded to it.
$45 when they did the Kickstarter, but now it's in Apple stores for $70. One of those things where if you had faith in the company and you paid $45 up front, then you got a pretty good deal.
Okay, it's so a neat little thing, though. Yeah.
What is it?
It's one of those iPhone lenses. So you remember when we went to Vegas and we had...
Yeah, you stick the lens on the back.
On the magnet, yeah. Right? So I have the magnet ring on my iPhone case right now.
Yeah.
But those are kind of unwieldy, and you have to swap out the lenses.
Well, and the magnet ring pops off and...
And yeah, the glue isn't that great.
Okay.
This is a clip that snaps onto the corner of the iPhone.
Okay.
And it's three lenses in one clip. And so you can rotate the clip and you get a macro lens, you get a wide angle lens and a fisheye lens. And so for people who like taking Instagram pictures, it actually takes pretty good pictures.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I thought it was pretty neat.
Did you do a video or something on
this? Yeah, it'll be up tomorrow or Monday, I think. I can't remember when it's going up.
All right. I'll look for it.
Oh, next Wednesday in the future. One of the nice things about working out of our homes is that we shoot like 6 videos at once and then they get doled out over a week and a half. Or
how's your office search going?
I think we have a group of people coming up early next week to look at more offices. So Andy and I went and looked at a ton of stuff 2 weeks ago now, last week. I can't remember. It seems like a long time ago. But we haven't, I guess it was last week, and we're like, we had a place that we were ready to sign on. It fell out at the last minute for reasons that aren't worth getting into.
All right.
We're hoping to get space soon. I mean, it is nice to shoot 5 or 6 things on one day and then move on, but it just means we can't do anything that's really long. Like we haven't done any games for App of the Week in ages just because, like, if you can't sit down and on the couch and kind of just talk about them, then it's difficult to explain how card games work or, you know, whatever. It's not much fun.
Okay.
But we'll do that stuff when we get in office again. What else have we talked about? Let's see. I tested my third person camera rig. We haven't talked about this on the podcast yet, have we?
You talked about it a little bit.
So, I mean, this is nothing new. People have done it before. It's, I was sitting here and looking around and said, oh, you know, I have most of the parts that I need to do this. Let's see how it works. But the idea is to hang a backpack off of my back or Norm's back, whoever wants to wear it, and basically give you a third person view of yourself walking around the real world. So I've done a bunch of tests with stuff. I'm using that Sony goggles, the big giant ones, and a black t-shirt to block out the outside world. And then I've figured out how to hang a GoPro off of the back of a backpack and give you a third person wide angle view of yourself navigating the real world.
The point being?
It's fun. It's silly.
Okay.
It's for Maker Faire.
Perspective on life.
Well, wow. it's like playing yourself in a video game, but when you're walking around.
Third person video game.
Third person.
Why can't I just say it's first person and not have to make any effort?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to do that, you could. You'd have to narrow your
effort. It's more Diablo than Quake.
No, it's more Gears than Halo.
Oh, I want it to be Diablo where it's one fixed point of view. So the camera rotates as you turn with the gyro.
You could probably do that with a drone.
You only see yourself from like one side, isometric.
It's not a bad idea. We need a drone for
this. Third-person cameras, they used to be like really hot stuff on the forums and Maker forums like 5-6 years ago.
before equipment was so readily available. I mean,
The neat thing about this is it's all off the shelf, basically.
I mean, you can buy cameras, camera sensors, and HD cameras are relatively cheap now, and they all have live HDMI out. And then, you know, you have stuff like the Sony goggles, which you can buy off the shelf. And so you don't need to create your own goggles with a laptop. And
although I've looked at goggles, I've been looking at the goggles, and you can get much less expensive goggles that are not 720p. I found a great how-to on, I think, Make, actually, where a dude took a pair of ski goggles and carved out the front and embedded the goggles in the ski goggles. So they just kind of hang on with a strap and are comfortable and all. I'm thinking about getting into that. I don't know.
You're going to look weird no matter what.
Oh, it's not something you're going to look normal wearing. But I have it all set up. We can try it out after the podcast is done if it stopped raining. Let's see. What else have we got? We've gotten into the Lark. I've been using the Lark for the last 3 or 4 days, which is one of those. It's a wake up thing.
Leah clock. Had been using it for the longest time.
Did she like it?
She didn't like it, and she's stopped using it now.
Yeah. So what it is? It's a wristband. You put it on, it has a little vibrating motor in it, and basically it connects to your phone with Bluetooth, and it has a clock. So when you get close to waking up, it supposedly tracks like your sleep patterns.
Yeah.
And tries to wake you up at the optimal time for not waking up kind of tired and grumpy. It wakes you up when you're in the right sleep state to
well, it's good
to
if you – it's good also, like, you know, for example, Leah and I, she had – until recently when she was still working, she would have to get up much earlier than me.
Yeah.
And she got it so that she could wake up in the morning without the alarm clock.
Silently.
Also waking me up. Yeah.
Well, the Jawbone Up did the same thing too.
Yeah. But so the upshot on this thing is that the fact that the thing is on my wrist wakes me up every morning. Like when I get to the point where I'd be normally about to wake up, the fact that there's a thing on my wrist is just enough to wake me up.
Handcuffs.
Kind of. Yeah. Like I don't know. I don't like it very much.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I don't seem to wake up any more refreshed or anything than I would just naturally.
Yeah.
This might be more valuable if I wasn't the person that was getting up, because I'm in the same boat as you. Gina gets up before me. Mm-hmm. So I always kind of hear her rustling around as she's going to get in the shower before I get up. So.
Right.
Hacking your sleep patterns is not easy. And there's no,
well, this, this does have a sleep coach thing, which I've started on. I think it takes 7 days to run.
Wow, sleep coach.
But basically it tracks your patterns and it gives you recommendations based on when you go to bed, about maybe going to bed earlier or later or something.
Jay-Z can be your sleep coach.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. Juice Orange. This is a solar powered battery. We tested that out. That video will be up next week as well. It's been out for a while, but it's kind of interesting. It's one of the better solar cells attached to a battery.
It's on the site right now.
Oh, it's on the site. Oh yeah, it went up this morning. Okay. I couldn't remember which one he was doing first. It's good. It's neat. It charges USB stuff.
I guess here is a good a place for it as any. I've been thinking about getting a Roku box.
Okay.
Because we're finishing up the nursery that the kid's going to sleep in. And one of the things we wanted to do was put a TV in there so that when we have to be in there, like, you know, late at night with the kid, when the kid wakes up, then we've got something to maybe look at.
Yeah.
And I figured, well, let's... You know, we got to get content on that screen. So, you know, you're looking at maybe one of these little boxes that gets you all the internet content. I thought about maybe an Apple TV, and I was looking around a bit more, and I was looking at the Roku box. Because what I'm thinking now is the box is the one that has the most services available on it. And Roku's actually great because every single box that I have is missing at least one thing.
Yeah.
The little ones, at least. Like the PlayStation right now is the only box of any kind that I own that covers all my bases, because it has Netflix. Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Instant Video, which I've come to really, really like.
Oh, that's on
NYPD Blue.
That's on PlayStation now, yeah.
Yeah, it's on PlayStation now. So I get my NYPD Blue, I get my Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. It has a great store where all the latest, you know, stuff is on there. Again, if you've got a Prime membership, it has fantastic content.
It's a good bargain.
But, you know, I don't want to buy a whole PlayStation just to put in the room. So I'm looking at these, you know, the little hockey puck size boxes. Apple TV doesn't have Hulu. Doesn't have Amazon.
Doesn't really have apps.
Doesn't have apps.
Yeah.
So I was looking at the Roku. Terrific. It has Hulu. It has Netflix. It has Pandora. It has Amazon. It has Vimeo. It has all the things that you would want. It has, you can watch your content on it. It's great.
No, you can't.
Well, Giant Bomb, whatever, you know, has that stuff on it.
Our stuff is broken. No ETA on fixed, but hopefully not too long.
So I was looking at it. I saw one at Target, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll get this. But you know what? It was the fucking bullshit Angry Birds special edition. Which has a bullshit... I would have tolerated that
except it has Angry Birds all over it, like literally like burned into the fucking case.
Really?
Oh, it has a big Angry Birds face right on top.
Oh, the one that we have, the one that we tested didn't have the Angry Birds stuff.
And it comes with a bullshit like Wiimote, so you can play Angry Birds on it.
But it's a normal remote. You never know it's a Wiimote unless you play it.
But I can't do that. But I am thinking about getting the regular Roku 2 that isn't the bullshit Angry Birds.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the Roku, you want to get the $79 one or the $99 one. You do not want to get the $50 one because the performance is real bad.
No, that's fine. What's the difference between $79 and $99?
I think one has the good remote and one doesn't. And whether the remote is actually better is up in the air.
I just don't want the Angry Birds one.
Also, the only way to get a wired Ethernet port is to get to the $99 one. Everything else
I don't want wired. There's no way to run cable into that room. It's only Wi-Fi
thing,
one.
The only thing that bums me out about Roku right now is that they don't have a YouTube app, which seems like a massive, massive overhead.
See, again, there's always one little gap.
Yeah. There's always something. I don't care so much about that.
I'm not really going to be sitting around watching YouTube videos on it.
Well, you think not, but the moment you plug it in, you're going to be sitting there with the kid and you're like, oh man, there's this fantastic YouTube video and you won't be able
to see
it.
That's where Apple TV and AirPlay really.
Yeah. Is. I mean, that's the thing. I'm of the opinion if HBO Go streamed from Apple TV from over AirPlay, I'd be down with just using
AirPlay.
Does Roku
have HBO Go? I can't figure out. I think they do.
They do, but it doesn't work because it seems like it is increasingly obvious that Microsoft paid Comcast to get HBO on the Xbox.
It's a frustrating time because we know in a few years this is all going to be sorted out, I hope.
I don't think so.
I think it will be. It'll be better in a few years.
There's too many people with vested interest to let it be sorted out easily. There's always going to be some sort of caveat. They're always going to want paying $100 for cable to be easier than doing this.
By the way, I haven't seen any reviews or knew it. I didn't even know it existed until I saw it in Target. And I'm going to guess it's crap, but I don't know that Sony has a Wi-Fi content media box now as well.
Yeah, I think it's crap.
But it has, you know, it has the Hulu and the Netflix and all that stuff on it. I just, you know, I don't trust Sony anymore to make good products.
I can't remember who they licensed their stuff from. It may just be the Google TV one still.
Mm.
Is it a small box or is it
a big
box?
It's a little, it's like a little Roku Apple TV size box.
Yeah, I'll have to go
and
buy
it. Like,
and check it was
like
out.
$99. Yeah, I'd be interested to know if it's any good actually. Because I'm not saying that it can't be good. I'm just saying I don't trust
it's
Sony
unlikely.
Yeah. I would want to see reviews before after I using, pick up something like that.
And a bunch of people suggested you buy the Boxy.
Yeah, and I mean, why? What's Boxy got that Roku
does? So
doesn't?
The thing Boxy does is if you can get to it in a web browser, then you can play video. Like, it'll play Flash video from the web and stuff like that.
I don't
that.
Want anything fancy. I just want a box that'll have all the nice, you know, packaged up content services that I want.
And you don't have actual, like, ripped DVDs on your computer or server.
I'm going to wind up putting either an Apple TV or a Roku in there, but I think, like, a Roku would be...
Don't you have an old Apple TV still?
Yeah, but we already repurposed that.
Oh, okay. Well, la-ti-da.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think for me, unless you want to watch HBO stuff, the Apple TV and AirPlay is the way to go. But Roku's really nice.
No, but I want Hulu. I want Amazon. And those are big. It's
you
okay
can play
down,
Hulu over
It's okay
AirPlay,
downstairs in the living room where if one box doesn't do it, another box will. But I'm saying if you're creating a room where you can only have one box, you're going to want the box that casts the widest net.
Yeah, but doesn't Hulu stream over AirPlay or no?
I would be really surprised if it did. And even then, you're using multiple devices. It's a hassle.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I don't know that there's a good solution for you, Gary. Put a PC in there. Make it easy.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want. I think it's going to be a Roku box. I think it's going to be the non-Angry Birds Roku box will be the solution.
It's a big selling point when people go to Target and see the Angry Birds on the Roku box. Like, oh, I want to buy that because it's Angry Birds.
Oh, that's the thing. I mean, and I think it was actually like a Target exclusive or something. And it was the only one they sold. I said, do you have one that doesn't have this fucking Birds shit on it? And he's like, no, that's the only one we've got.
I said,
well, fuck you then.
Really?
And I kicked him in the fucking face.
The poor retail guy?
And that's what I did in my head.
What did you really do?
See, this is why that 30-second rewind would be so good.
You just work out your aggression on the guy that's making $15 an hour selling Roku boxes at Target?
Yeah.
Not very nice.
But then I pressed the button and it never happened.
Your eyes glazed over and it's like, sir.
That would,
sir?
Yeah.
And you're like, excuse me, I'm having a fantasy right now.
Sorry, hold on.
I'm imagining kicking
you in the face.
That would be so damaging for you. Eventually you would forget. You just stop forgetting. You forget to start pressing the button.
Or you'd
punch someone in the face and drop the remote. The batteries would fall out.
Yeah, the battery runs out. Now I can't get back. Yeah.
But it was worth it.
I need some AA batteries in the next 2 seconds.
Yes.
Boom.
But I mean, Target, so I could probably get them really quickly.
I don't think 30 seconds, though.
I'm in the electronics section. I'm going to tear open the packet.
You rewind to the fist midair.
I don't think any of us could do it. Even if we had the rewind button, the mental trauma.
Yeah, your hands would be shaking.
Yeah, it'd be too, like, if I told you, guaranteed, Gary, right now, that this device is a time travel device. Mm-hmm. That'll get, but you can't test it, but I guarantee it works.
Is this a game theory thing again?
No, it's just a psychological thing. You can do it.
I probably wouldn't trust you when you say you're giving me a working time travel device.
You think that would be the
there probably would be some skepticism.
Interesting. I think you'd have a hard time hitting somebody even if you didn't have the time travel thing in play. I think if I was the Target guy, if I was working at Target and I said, I know you're unhappy about this Angry Bird situation, sir. Would punching me in the face make you feel better?
It's the sands.
I don't think you would do it.
It's the sands of time dagger, right? That's basically
what we're talking about.
But in a nice kind of modern packaging.
Yeah, without having to stab people to recharge it.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
That was a good game. I like that game.
Yeah, I love that game.
Yeah. Let's see. Last thing, the blood pressure cuff. I got an iPhone blood pressure cuff.
Oh, how is it?
It takes your blood pressure.
Do you have it here?
Yeah, you want
to
try
I might take my blood pressure after the show.
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
We should have been taking your blood pressure all through the show.
Yeah, you see some interesting spikes.
We have a heart rate monitor, too.
When I start talking about kicking people in the face, it starts going up.
Yeah, so it's basically you put it on your arm, just like a normal blood pressure cuff. You plug it into your iPhone, hit the start button on the iPhone.
Yeah.
There's a little, there's a couple of AA batteries in it or something that power a fan puff up the cuff.
Right.
And it works just like the thing at Rite Aid or wherever.
Do they really need to connect to an iPhone?
Do you ever do that thing where you ever take your blood pressure at the machine that they have at the supermarket?
That's my favorite part of as a child, going to a supermarket.
Do you ever have that weird feeling that as it's inflating, that like, what if it doesn't stop? It squeezes my arm right off.
I usually have a key in my hand just in case I need to poke it, you know, poke my arm free. It has the emergency stop button.
Puncture the bladder?
It's the big red stop button.
Yeah, but what if that doesn't work? And then your arm comes off.
Yeah, what if it's a saw situation?
It only takes one disgruntled engineer at that company.
Yeah.
And you've lost an arm.
Yeah. Maybe he's sitting there with his 30-second back button.
You'd have a nice
the batteries don't work.
You'd have a nice little lawsuit, though.
Yeah, I don't think I'd rather have an arm. It's your left arm, though, so I mean, who cares? Well, you're left-handed.
I'm left-handed. That's the problem.
Oh, that's real bad.
There is that moment, just as it gets super tight, I'm going, what if this doesn't stop?
Yeah.
And then it does.
Yeah. Well, you have that with this.
It's just air.
But that's why I think I always get unnaturally high blood pressure, because I'm freaking out about the thing.
So that's a thing.
Taking my arm off.
Like, I talk to my doctor about it, because every time I go to the doctor, I have high blood pressure. And when I do it in the machine, it's always fine.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, because he wanted to put me on meds for blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, why don't you just take your blood pressure at home and see how it goes? Because it's probably just that you're getting anxious about your blood pressure because, you know, you have a family history.
Let's all take our blood pressure after the show.
Norm doesn't work. His arms are too skinny.
What? My arms are skinnier than Norm's, probably.
Really?
Yeah, I've got skinny arms.
Maybe he just was sitting wrong yesterday. We'll try it again.
All right.
We'll do it after the show.
Yeah. Do you have high blood pressure then?
120 over 80 when I take it at home.
Don't spoil it.
What?
Well,
how's that a spoiler?
140 over 90 every fucking time at the doctor's office.
I know.
Wow.
It's always the worst. Because you know what?
Because
you're nervous about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's self-defeating.
Well, and the thing is, sometimes they have a hard time with me for whatever reason. So when the nurse is taking, or the PA or whatever, is taking my blood pressure, he's usually sitting there, and usually it takes two tries because he's like, oh, I wasn't sure if I think I missed it. And the second try, it's always worse.
You ever see that episode of Curb where they have to take they have to do an EKG? And there's a hot nurse in the office, and she always comes in when they're taking his reading.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good. You know, I saw an episode of Seinfeld the other day where LD was a cameo. It wasn't a cameo. He was an extra.
Well, he would cameo all the time.
Yeah, but it was the one with Lloyd Braun.
He's the voice of Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
Well, I knew he was the voice of Steinbrenner, but this one was the one with Lloyd Braun when Kramer was working at that movie theater. And at the end, when they go to buy, when George is wearing the Henry VIII costume.
Yeah. And he's
like pops out of the window there. I was like, shit, that's LD.
Yeah, that's LD.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. I mean, he shows up
a couple of times in that show.
It's good. I guess that does it for what we've been testing. Unless you have anything else, Gary. We'll save your other thing for fake
testing. No, I think I'm good.
Or Norm, you want to talk about Filmic at all or no? Yeah. Okay.
You want to talk about Coke Freestyle? Is that for
testing?
Yeah,
that's what we can talk about that and what we've been testing. Norm and I got to try this in Seattle last
week. Oh, I can talk about my Asian food experience as well, because I tested
it. You should just stop
at Asian.
My Asian experience.
I'm so excited.
Oh, boy. So the Coke Freestyle thing, Jeff and Ryan told us about this
ages ago. I did not know this was a thing until this morning. I never knew it existed.
So at the Melt, you know, the
they don't have it at the Melt,
they don't have it at the Melt, but they have a different thing. And I thought it looked – that's what I thought it was. So at these – I guess some delis have it too.
I guess Five Guys has it. And now it's showing up at Denny's. That's how we discovered it this
morning. Yeah, they had it at a, like a fancy hamburger place in Portland. Yeah.
The one at the Melt is different because it's very steampunkish. You have a lever and then you can like rotate it and then push it down. Like
where I was, you don't have the fun of using the machine. Yeah. You just order it and they bring it to you.
So what Will's talking about – is it's, it looks like a vending machine. It's a giant ice machine with a digital LCD screen.
Yeah.
And it's
like a touchscreen
interactive
of the whole
game
yards.
Experience. Right. Almost.
And you can basically customize your flavors. Yeah.
And
it's all the Coke family drinks. So it's Coke, it's Sprite, Pib. It's Minute Maid.
And you think of it as easy as, you know, I want a Diet Coke. So you click Diet Coke. No. Do you want one of these five different varieties of Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Diet Coke Cherry, Diet Coke
Vanilla.
So the flavors that I saw, for example, just orange. From Coke, the flavors that I saw, because so we're sitting at Denny's.
Yeah.
We went for breakfast this morning, me and Leah, and there's a decal on the table saying Coke Freestyle, over 100 different flavor combinations. And I'm like, what is this? And so like Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, Minute Maid with a four, and Fanta. Sorry,
the
with a five
that
they had. So in each family, they have all different flavor variations, and Coke was, for example, so like some of the ones that we've always known exist, like cherry, vanilla,
standard
cherry
things.
Vanilla, lime. These are all ones that we've seen.
You can buy orange.
Orange. This is when I started to go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Orange, raspberry.
Yep.
And I think it was a couple of others as well. And I said, I want to try this. So that waitress is actually really nice. I said, I want to try this. So I said, can you bring an orange? She said, I brought you an orange and a mystery one. See if you can figure out what it is.
Ooh, so we tried fucking with you.
We tried the orange and the raspberry, and those were the two that I liked the most. So I tweeted about it, and I then did, because this is a thing that people know about. I'm only discovering this. I'm a little bit late to the party on this, that people were saying, oh, you can even take it to the next level and start mixing those flavors.
Yeah.
So like you can mix orange and vanilla and make like a creamsicle.
I want a panic button.
Or you can mix like lime and cherry and make like a lime Ricky. Like you can do all this crazy shit.
Yeah.
So when we were at this place in Portland, like Norm and Joey went and got there. Well, Joey was drinking water because he's a grown up, but Norm went and got his drink and I was behind him. I was sitting there paralyzed by indecision looking at this. First off, the UI is kind of bad on the machine. It's a little laggy. It's it was not a multi-touch touchscreen. Yeah, so you had to really mash it and stuff like that. And I probably spent, what, maybe 3 minutes at it? I don't know. It seems like it was a long time.
Did you feel like that you were given too much choice?
It was,
that you were
paralyzed? Because I was like, I don't really like vanilla Coke very much because they use bad, it doesn't taste like real vanilla, you know? And I like cherry Coke, but that seems like the wrong choice here. And citrus Coke seems like a bad idea. And so I ended up just getting a Mr. Pibb with cherry in it.
You wanted a flow chart.
Yeah. But what happened was I turned around and there were like eight people behind me in the line, kind of like tapping their feet and looking at their watches.
So what did you, 5-year-old
kid, arms folded?
I ended up getting orange Pibb. That was ill-advised.
The other two that she brought, the mystery ones, turned out to be lime, which is no great shake. Because again, I've tried that before, and cherry vanilla Coke.
I don't like the cherry vanilla flavor.
I didn't love it either. Yeah. They were kind of just tasted like Coke that had kind of gone a bit, kind of gone bad almost.
So
the orange and the raspberry, like orange Coke, is really good.
I'll have to try the orange.
Yeah, try the orange.
One of the things
that was my favorite.
The interesting thing for me about this whole thing is that it's basically come full circle from the soda jerks in the '50s. Because when my dad was a soda jerk when he was in high school, and that means he was basically worked at a soda fountain, scooped ice cream, and made root beer floats and milkshakes and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But one of the things that they would do was they would take a Coke, and you know they made it on the spot. They'd pour a little syrup in the bottom. They'd put the carbonated water in, and if you wanted to have a flavored Coke like a vanilla Coke or a cherry Coke or whatever, they had syrups that they could do that for all of that there.
Right.
And so
this is now just an automated version of
full
that.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Just like shaved ice with syrup.
Coke killing jobs once again. Mm. Way to go, Coke.
Soda fountain, real fountain.
No, I mean, they haven't really killed the job because that job's been dead for years.
Soda
they
jerks.
just brought back an automatic
Gary,
version of
what
it.
What do you have against the soda jerks, man?
No, I love that. Hey, look, if I could go back to the 50s and like go to the corner drugstore and sit there and eat an ice cream and a soda fountain thing, it'd be great.
Not know about calories.
Sing a song. Yeah.
Smoke a cigarette.
Exercise some casual racism.
Right. Yeah. You know, hey, I'm getting a little heavy. I'm going to start smoking heavy. I'll pick up an extra pack a day. You know, it'll increase my metabolism.
Chattertons. Yeah.
Exactly.
For science.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting, and I thought the orange and raspberry flavors were very good. And
that's
then, like I said, I thought it was interesting to see that people are already kind of making their own concoctions beyond – like the 100 combinations that Coke offer you aren't enough for people that are already taking it to the next level.
People are crazy.
There should be like statistics for the best flavors. Maybe
the orange and vanilla creamsicle one sounded really good.
This is what Jim Cameron should really be working on, is delving into the depths of the Coke flavor machine to figure out what the ultimate flavor is.
Yeah.
forget going to the deepest place on Earth.
They didn't have Pib. That was the one. No.
Ah, disappointing. I like Pib, but it's no Dr. Pepper.
And then the Fanta one was kind of confusing me because it just seemed like Fanta isn't something that really gets with flavor added. They just have different flavors of Fanta.
Well, I think of Fanta as orange and grape. I think there's
a red
one,
they had orange,
too.
They had grape, they had raspberry, they
or
had...
strawberry, right?
Strawberry. The one that they were missing, which is a Fanta flavor, which is my personal favorite, is pineapple.
What?
You haven't never had pineapple Fanta?
I've just had orange Fanta.
It is the best.
I'm more of an orange crush guy, personally. Okay. I like the crush better than the Fanta.
I like Fanta. Fanta, you know, was how Coke got into Nazi Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, good to know.
They wanted to sell their products to...
Why do you know this, Gary?
Because I'm a student of history.
Okay.
Coke wanted to sell their products to the Nazis, but didn't want the blowback of being seen to do it. So they created a sub-brand.
Coke, the official beverage of Nazi Germany.
So when you drink Fanta, you're drinking Nazi cola.
Oh, that's gross, dude. Not good. I'm going to play some music, and then we're going to take a couple questions.
By the way, that may not be true, just in case you're going to get sued. I think
everything Gary says may be apocryphal.
I think there is definitely a weird story to it. There's some Nazi related.
Did they have cocaine when they were sending? It was like poison coke to send to the Germans?
No, I think they were out of that. Well, that would have been the way to do it,
right? Like
they could have done their bit for the war effort.
Yeah, exactly.
But they probably just would have been killing innocent German people.
Yeah, I don't think they were drinking soda on the front
If they
lines.
Knew that Hitler loved Coke.
Yeah, well, they send him some the magic.
They would send him some that could have been poisoned. But then he probably had someone test it. I think he had people testing his food at that point.
I'm sure Hitler wasn't drinking American soda deep into the war. Seems like that would be ill-advised.
You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to play the music, and then we're going to take some serious, serious questions. If you have a question for the Tested podcast, the email address is podcast@tested.com. Keep it short, under 45 seconds. Listen to it and make sure you sound like a human being and are legible. And, you know, just be casual. It'll be fun. It's not that hard to send a question in. Here's the first question.
Hello, Tested crew. This is Dude Mullet from Tijuana, Mexico. A little bit of home trivia. The Caesar salad was invented in Tijuana at a hotel. Now for my question... I just saw your sous vide technique being used on your New York steaks, and it made me hungry, by the way. And I was wondering if you could use Ziploc bags instead of airtight ones. I mean, it's basically just to keep the water out, right? Shouldn't the Ziploc bags be enough? Anyway, thank you, and keep on testing.
Is that guy's name really Dude Mullet?
I think that's his username.
Oh, okay.
I don't think his the name of his driver's license is Dude Mullet.
That's a shame. That would be a good name.
So you can use Ziploc bags, but you have to use the right ones. There are these things called Ziploc boil bags, and they're for like boiling vegetables in water and stuff.
They're actually
like that.
Ziploc brand?
They're either Glad or Ziploc. I can't remember in the U.S. But you want to have the ones that have the appropriate lining so they don't break down at high temperature and inject your food with plastic.
Do you know what I discovered the other day?
Hmm? Double bagging?
Double bagging isn't going to help because it's a heat thing, not a water
You know how
thing.
You occasionally discover that things are that are just generic names, actually are brand names?
Uh-huh.
Like Jacuzzi is actually a brand.
Yes.
Kleenex.
Onesie.
What's a onesie?
You know onesies.
Oh, like the clothes? Like a pullover?
Like the little baby suits. They're just the one-piece baby suits. Owned by, like, the Gerber Corporation.
I hope your baby exclusively dresses in suits. Like a little
bow tie. Suits?
Yeah, like business suits for babies.
Maybe you'll do that and create, like, a business baby meme.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Be the sequel to Business Cat.
Your kid could be the Don Draper of babies.
Business Cat was my favorite.
Business Cat's pretty good. So the important thing to note is you want to have contact. You want to get as much of the air out of the bag as you can so that there's plenty of contact between the water and the meat.
Right.
So don't like put an inflated Ziploc bag in a cooler.
Could you like get a like stick a straw in there and
I
suck
would
it
be
out?
Hesitant to suck the air out of a Ziploc bag.
I think
that
you're
has
probably okay. Don't be
inside.
Such a baby chick.
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
Right. Do you eat beef steak tartare?
You could eat sushi. I mean, you could just eat the raw meat if you want. You're not going to get sick.
Probably.
As long as it's fresh.
Probably.
Tastes gross.
There are some parasite concerns. Probably don't want to do it with chicken. But beef is more or less okay.
Oh, you know what? It's making me really want steak tartare. I love steak tartare.
You know, do you ever go to the sushi places where they do the sliced steak tartare, the sliced beef sushi? Sushi Groove.
I've had like that Kobe beef tartare. Although, you know, although it's not real Kobe beef, it's, you know, they do that.
It's the same
treatment. I love it when I love the places where I don't even know where I would go for this now or where I got it, but like they make the steak tartare at the table side. Like they chop it up with with the raw egg and everything and capers. Oh, so good.
It's really living on the eating edge, eating the raw egg and the raw beef at the same time.
Yeah. But again, if it's fresh ingredients, you shouldn't have a problem.
Plus five constitution.
Exactly. I'm going to play another question. Boil bags. That's the answer.
Okay.
Look for the boil bags. And Cesar Gardini was the guy who invented the Caesar salad.
Are there special, and they're so that the plastic doesn't like come apart in boiling water or something?
Basically, there's a liner on the inside that protects, because plastic, when it's heated, breaks down and releases some chemicals that are bad.
Oh, I see.
There's a liner on the inside. You want to do the same thing when you're using vacuum bags, too. You have to get the ones that say boil safe.
Okay, got it.
So, yeah, like any Ziploc that says it's safe for boiling is fine. Here's the next question. This one's kind of long. It's about Linux and Steam. I'm going to play it.
Last week, this happened.
The other big Valve news, I don't know if you heard, it sounds like Steam on Linux is imminent.
That means, you know, Android Steam and all that stuff is possible. Chrome OS, it'll be a custom, it'll be the underpinnings for some other...
Linux on embedded devices, it seems like the real thing there.
Yeah, phones and tablets. Yeah.
Firstly, the Java environment that Android provides has almost nothing in common with a traditional Linux desktop, and a port job to one or the other would have almost no work in common. Also, porting games across operating systems is hard, and developers are understandably hesitant to do so unless they are confident that people will buy it. When the Mac Steam client came out, Valve, by example, encouraged other developers to develop Mac ports, and it paid off. The Humble Bundle has proven repeatedly that the Linux game market is, while currently smaller than the Windows and Mac game markets, certainly worth investing in. I say currently because there are plenty of people for whom video games are the sole reason for sticking with Windows. I suspect that many a bootcamp partition was deleted when Steam for Mac was released, and it seems probable that a bunch of NTFS partitions on otherwise Linux boxes may have the same fate in store. If games on Linux are a viable proposal, it could put that platform in a whole new light for a lot of people. Myself, I'm predominantly a Mac user, and I suspect that Valve is doing this at least partly so that they don't have to license Windows for any hardware they may want to sell down the line. They're not altruists, but that does not negate the potential significance of this release. You might be right, and Steam for Linux may fail miserably, but I take issue with your immediate dismissal. Are you willing to put an egg on this?
The only way Steam for Linux is going to be a success is if Valve releases hardware themselves. Mainstream games.
There's an egg.
I don't care. This is no contest here.
I don't care what the answer is. I just like listening to that voice.
Yeah, the guy has a fantastic voice. I ran the question because
narration for like BBC documentaries.
I would give him a script of everything we say and just get him to reread our podcast. It's fantastic.
Dramatic readings.
And I liked the edit. I liked that he edited in our us saying something dumb.
Yeah, very professional quality question. I don't give a fuck about the subject.
The point of the whole thing is that yes, the Humble Bundle sells very well on Linux for a very, very small audience. The games that are in the Humble Bundle are typically games that are made with like third party SDKs that make it relatively easy to port the games over. We're never in the foreseeable future. We've done this before. We've done the whole AAA games on Linux and they sell like 30,000 copies and everybody involved loses a bunch of money. We're never going to see Skyrim. We're never going to see Batman Arkham City. We're not going to see current first run release games on Linux. It's a very, very small audience. It makes the Mac audience look huge. And even if you look at the games that are out on Mac, Steam versus the games that are on Windows Steam, it is a very small subset of the available titles outside of some indie stuff. So we were being dismissive. I totally cop to that, but we were right to be dismissive. So sorry.
All right.
Rebuttal to the rebuttal. Last question. One more?
Why not?
Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm James Velaitis from Harlow in England. A few weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to present my iOS game, Armies of Death, to a number of top games industry professionals. Among them was one of my heroes, Peter Molyneux. He actually mentioned I reminded him of Gary Witter, which was pretty much one of the coolest things to ever happen to me. Now, upon meeting Peter Molyneux, it was probably the first time that I would ever say I was properly starstruck. I've never felt more excited to be meeting somebody I admired. As you guys meet inspirational people more regularly than somebody like myself, I was wondering if you too have ever been starstruck, and by whom. Thanks a lot, guys. I love your show.
I'm guessing that was at Molly Jam?
I would assume it was at the Molly Jam, yeah. We didn't talk about that on the show, but it was a really, I thought it was a really cool event that, well, Patrick kind of accidentally started and then it rolled from there. Patrick,
yeah, it turned into a global event. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And Molyneux himself got involved.
They had a bunch of good games come out of it. I think Molyneux wants to be involved with the next time they do it. And,
yeah.
I don't know, Gary, you access celebrities much more than we do. Starstruck, yes or no? You're always in a work context, right?
Yeah, I'm at a point where I'm not really allowed to be starstruck anymore, or I'm not allowed to show it, because, you know, usually when I meet these people now,
yeah,
it's in a professional context, and so you want to remain professional, and like asking for like an autograph or a photo or something seems kind of weird,
or even just being like weird about it.
Yeah,
is
but
weird.
Like again, you do kind of become. You get used to it, I guess. It's still very. I mean, when I met Kurt Russell, I was like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah,
this guy is fucking Snake Plissken and Jack Burton.
Yeah,
but you know, within like two minutes of that, and you're just sitting around in his living room.
He's a normal dude.
He's just a normal dude.
Yeah,
and you forget about it. You just get on with it.
Yeah, like the first time I met John Carmack, the first time I sat down and interviewed John Carmack.
Yeah,
that was a weird. Like I was like, holy fucking shit, I'm talking to somebody that is not just way smarter than me, but I'm talking to somebody who is fucking rocket scientist, yeah, on top of making amazing games.
Well, for me, it was the only time I've ever been really starstruck was Alexei Pajitnov.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. But I mean, you move beyond it. Like you have to not let it show, because you're there to do a job generally.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it applies for me.
There are people that I'd still be starstruck to meet.
Who would you allow yourself to be starstruck with?
Like someone like Paul McCartney.
Yeah. I can see that.
Where you're like, holy shit, like, you know, where you've achieved a level of fame and your contribution to the world is such that you're immortal now. Like you're going to, you know, people will still be listening to his music in 1,000 years, and that's pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah. The Mozart of our time.
Yeah.
Norm, you go to Comic-Con and you see people at panels and stuff, ask questions and that kind of thing.
That's not really interaction, though.
Well, okay, that's true. But, I mean, you have interacted with people who are of a celebrity nature. I rode an elevator with Jack Black one time. I wasn't really starstruck then.
Yeah. Shared a bathroom with Jonah Hill.
That's weird. You couldn't go in one after the other?
Urinals.
Oh, okay.
Who would you most like to meet?
Oh, that's tough. I think it changes year to year.
Fickle.
You got to be careful as well, actually. It's dangerous.
Will
to
Smith,
meet.
Star of Men in Black 3, out May 25th.
Thanks. I get that a lot.
In 3D.
Yeah, in glorious 3D. I got a Pinterest spam from somebody who thought I was Will Smith this morning. That's not happened before.
Huh.
Yeah. You were going to say, Gary, you have
to be careful. I was just saying, sometimes you want to be, you know, it can be weird to meet the people that, if you have a bad interaction with someone that you know are a fan of, it can sour your whole perception of that person from then on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing for me is always that, like, I find that when you talk to somebody who's famous or whatever, they're typically like the thing that they appreciate more is just being treated like a normal human being. I mean, for the most part, I'm sure there's some exceptions when you get into people.
Yeah,
who are,
like one of the things that I discovered very early on in my career when I started meeting, you know, famous people.
People with high Q ratings.
Yeah, is that they don't like to be reminded of it.
Yeah.
Like if you make some reference, it's easy to fall into the trap of making some reference to the fact that they're super famous.
Did you realize that you are?
It makes them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you want to be a normal, like the thing that if you're super famous or super wealthy, same thing. More than anything else, you want to just not. You want to have the benefits of being super famous and super wealthy without all the kind of negative stuff.
Right.
Because there's a lot of negative stuff that comes.
I don't think I'd want to meet anyone super famous for like a celebrity, because like I'm not going to be their friend. Like I don't know what the point is. Like I'd probably be disillusioned. But I do want to meet people who are famous for their craft, experience their craft. Like, for example, I want to have sushi at Jiro's sushi place.
Right.
Not just to meet him, because he is famous for being able to make the world's best sushi. And I want to experience that.
Right.
And they made a movie about him.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess that'll do it for us this week. Stay tuned for Fake Outtakes. Gary Wood and Norman Chan, thanks for coming in. Any plugs? Oh, I got a plug. I'm going to be lantern running tomorrow with the Giant Bomb guys. We're gonna bring it home.
First crossover event?
Brad was here last week.
Well, no, but I mean first crossover back in the other direction.
Yeah, the other way. I'm willing to commit to this. I'm not leaving the room until we run the lanterns are complete.
All right, that's a.
I don't know if everybody else is on with this.
You're going out on a limb there.
Oh, Gina points out that we have a concert tomorrow night late, so probably there will be a cutoff at some point for me if I want to continue being married.
She's very serious about that.
No, that was there was head shaking and everything. I think it's in Oakland too.
Oh my goodness!
I guess that means I'll ride Bart.
All the more incentive to get it done.
Oh, yeah, we better not choke. I'm going to go do some light research, watch some YouTube videos tonight.
Curls.
Get my thumbs stretched out.
You got to play the right outro music today. Which appropriates the conversation.
Which outro music is that?
I'm going to let you pick and tell you if you're right.
Did we have... What?
Just go with your gut.
Good God.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
That's it.
I never understood Wally as a cautionary tale. Those fat foods, I want that.
That's acceptable.
That was from the Hogfather. Thanks, Hogfather.
And that's acceptable because we did talk about Segways and scooters today.
Scooters.
Yeah. The other one would
be scooters.
98 beats per minute. That's pretty high.
But I'm using ones from the audience. That was the Hogfather. Right now, it seems like KLN and the Hogfather are our two most prolific outro makers. And unfortunately, I have to pick and choose. I only pick good ones. So.
They were good.
Yeah, make it snappy. Gary, you went to a somewhat interesting class last night.
I learned a lot about the science of boobs.
Boobs.
And babies.
Okay.
The science of babies?
The science of babies.
Whoa.
Which is a whole fascinating
world.
It's
like babies
world.
In lab coats?
So what day is it today? It's the...
It's the third.
It's the third. So our due date is July 4th. So two months from now.
2 months and a day.
Months and a day.
Wow.
Crap.
It's coming down to the wire.
Is it getting real now? Do you feel like this is actually something that's
going to
happen?
Well, now that I'm actually going to like baby classes and stuff, it makes it feel more real, more imminent.
So can I ask a dumb question?
Better than anyone I know.
Thanks, Gary.
I stole that line from the Golden Girls, I should point out.
What?
Which Golden Girl? Betty White or
well, Betty White is the setup.
Dumb one, yeah.
That's the setup line. Yeah. And what's her name? The Butch one.
Maud.
Not Maud.
Blanche.
No.
Blanche is the
whore.
You're right.
Whoa.
Let's not make value judgments here.
Well, no, she is.
One.
That's
you're
the character.
About the tall one.
She's promiscuous.
I can't remember her name.
You're talking about...
drive me mad.
Maud.
No.
She played Maud.
Bea Arthur.
Right, I can't remember what her name is. So,
thanks for bringing back bad Photoshop memories.
What is your dumb question? Now the name of that character is going to drive me nuts.
Well, Norm has an iPad. He can look it up. Many, many animals have children the same way that human beings do.
Yes.
But most animals don't have to have a class to learn how to have a baby.
Well, that's...
What do you learn at baby class?
It's very interesting that you should ask that particular dumb question.
The first thing they roll into?
Because part of the class is all about how we should, in fact, be having babies and nurturing them more like animals do.
Wow. Okay.
I think
you're like supposed to lick the baby clean and all that stuff?
Interesting you should say that. One of the top pieces of advice we were given last night at this breastfeeding class was lick your baby.
Really?
Yes.
Is that applied to, can like Norm and I come over and lick your baby? Or
no.
Is this just for you guys?
No. I will tell you why. And this is why
do babies taste good?
Animals lick their babies, right?
Okay.
And this is only for the mother to do.
Okay, so you don't get to lick the baby.
I mean, I can if I want. This is something else
that we get screwed out of.
I mean, it's mine, I guess, but... There's no reason for me to do it.
Fair trade.
Yeah.
Having the baby.
The reason why you do it is that by licking the baby and ingesting its germs, because babies have all kinds of staph and germs, infections, all kinds of shit over them on them all the time, that the mother licks the baby, ingests those germs, and the milk then customizes itself to deal with those germs.
so that when the baby drinks the milk, it's super milk that is customized for that baby's germs and issues.
Oh my God, I might have to put money in the jar to this conversation.
You stumbled right into, you inadvertently
say
stumbled
it.
Right into the
say it. Put money in the jar. Say it.
This is
the Gina wants you to say
no,
it too.
No,
say
I,
it.
I have a running bet that I'm not going to put any money in that damn jar.
You're going to say you almost say the C word?
I said the thing I'm not allowed to say anymore. holy shit.
No, say it.
She has to lick the baby?
I think you should get a one-time exception.
Don't
for
lick
this.
The baby.
You do.
No,
lick,
no exception.
You do lick the baby.
Give in to your... Give in.
Okay. Explain the baby class.
All right, so we had to go to breastfeeding class because it's and part of the reason why they have.
Hold on, is this like a second level class? Is it like a 200 level class, or have you had other classes up until this point?
We've had a couple of classes. This
so
is
let's
one
start,
of the first
start
the classes are kind of starting now.
Okay, so what is the first thing you learn at baby class? Because you already know how to make the baby.
Well, this was clearly a specific breastfeeding class.
Okay,
so and obviously there's not much for me to learn.
So you're just there for support.
I was there for support. There was a lot of couples there.
Okay.
And it was interesting.
Okay.
And they had a live demonstration.
So there were boobs
which I
there.
Did not expect.
There were real boobs.
There were live boobs.
Wow.
Usually like you have to pay, usually you have to pay a cover for that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, I know. Or have like three drinks or something.
Not a lot of single fathers there, right?
No.
Norm's thinking, man, maybe I can go meet some
it's called About a Boy.
There was a lesbian couple though, and it was interesting that they actually have the benefit that they can both breastfeed the baby.
But they're both having babies at the same time, or does it just work out?
Well, they have one baby between them.
Can they both?
But they
the
can both.
Too?
They've both got boobs.
Yeah, but I thought there was some biological stuff that had to happen before milk was produced.
No, the other women around babies will start sympathetically in the presence of all the hormones and oxytocin will start creating milk.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah.
What
I'm telling you, this
learn?
Is just fucking amazing.
Norm is
shit.
Shaking
I'm unprepared
his
for this conversation.
Norm is like freaking out. He was not ready for this level of science.
No. Okay. So you learn about the breastfeeding and the licking of the children.
You have to lick the baby.
What else
learn? But let's dial this back to the beginning.
Okay.
The whole reason why things like breastfeeding classes now exist, apparently, is because the art of breastfeeding has been lost. Since the Industrial Revolution and formula and bottles and things came along, the way in which animals and humans traditionally had fed their babies for millions of years went away and was replaced by bottle feeding and artificial methods.
So you're saying because we're so stupid, we have to have classes to learn things that animals just know instinctively.
Yes, we have to basically now have classes to learn the basic skills that the industrialized methods of things that were.
So,
for a while, we thought, and I'm just kind of parroting what this teacher was explaining, but she was kind of a hippie, or she was like an obstetric nurse,
and
okay, she was very hip. When we walked in, I thought I'd walked into the Portlandia lesbian bookshop.
Okay.
It was very much that.
So there are a lot of Tom's shoes and stuff like that in there.
Yeah. It was very cool though.
Okay.
Was
it like patchouli or anything? Was there incense burning or
no,
like
it
dim
it
lighting?
Wasn't, it wasn't quite to that degree.
Was it like at the senior center or
but
were
was,
you at
it was
like a,
it was at lo-
like
it was
a church?
Like, it was like at a hippy dippy kind of baby supply store.
Okay.
But they also do classes in the back room.
Okay.
And this was a breastfeeding class.
Okay.
And this lady who had been like an obstetric nurse, you know, and had delivered hundreds of babies and a midwife and a doula, and you know, she knows more about babies.
She got some baby shit
more about
on.
Babies than you do or I do.
No doubt.
No question.
Norm is still shaking his head.
One of her pieces of advice was lick your baby.
How often? Like every day? Or just like once or twice a day?
I guess as often as you want.
What's the dosage required to change your body?
Is there a particular part of the baby you're supposed to lick, or is it just like head and forehead and face?
Lick its face, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, good to know. Okay, so what else? Any other like mind bombs?
So I'm just doing the little intro.
Yeah.
So formula came along, and for a while we were conned into thinking that formula is better than
Nestle,
mother's milk.
Yeah.
Now we know that's absolutely
untrue.
The
that's why there's a big secondary market. A great
well,
market.
And here's now I am gonna blow your milk. Fucking mind with this next part.
Well, hold on. So when we lost the skills of breastfeeding, did they have to send people back out to like unindustrialized countries to study the people that still knew how to breastfeed?
Some of the leading experts in breastfeeding, part of their research is observing like apes in the wild and looking at how they walk around with their babies and how they. How they hold the baby, the best breastfeeding positions are based on monkeys. And
so
stuff.
Like you don't hold the baby up like over your shoulder or anything like that, and kind of
no. There are various positions which
breastfeeding positions, which I consider to be the best ones, very closely mimic like the way that a gorilla will hold a baby to the breast.
Okay.
And things like that. Because they know what they're doing.
All those years watching nature documentaries are finally paying off.
Yeah, really fascinating. Okay. But here's the amazing stuff. And this is the whole thing about like why, you know, even when you see TV ads for like baby formula now, you know, it's that little thing that Bonnet says like, you know, breast milk is still the best.
Yeah.
Formula is only what you use if you absolutely cannot get.
Yeah, if your kid's going to die otherwise.
And she did. I kind of saw this coming. She did. The teacher went on the whole like anti-Nestle rant.
Uh-huh.
Because Nestle, as many people know, some may not know this. There's a whole boycott. Like the World Health Organization says fuck Nestle for this reason.
Yeah.
That what they, and I didn't know this was the reason. It's even worse when you know what actually the reason why it's bad is that Nestle gives free formula away to mothers in the developing nations. But what you mix the formula, it's not just that the formula is not as good. They mix it with the water out there, like an African place where the water is no good, and the babies fucking die because they're drinking this bad water.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's super bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to tell you this, and you just were like, oh.
No, it's
blah, 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 blah.
So I'm on board with it all now.
Okay.
And so obviously formula is what you do if you just no way you can get natural. If you can't produce your own milk for medical reasons, and you can't get – what you're supposed to do next is then get donor milk, because a lot of mothers who can produce tons of milk will give away the excess. And if you want to get that.
Sell it.
Someone else's mother's milk is still, again, much better than formula.
You can get that from vending machines in Japan.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And there are whole banks and cooperatives that will do this stuff.
Probably seems like a San Francisco thing.
Because some mothers are like super lactators, and you never want to throw the milk away. There's always something good for it. And this is what's amazing.
Do those people have to come and lick your baby too?
She went on a whole speech about how mother's milk, colostrum, which is the milk that's initially created in the first few days, and then the milk that comes behind it that you feed the baby for however many years, 2 years, 3 years, how long you want to breastfeed your baby, is the ultimate miracle nature food that exists. It's this unbelievably amazing stuff. Now, like, for example, this is the example that she gave, and I'm just telling you, I'm just telling you what she told me.
Yeah, yeah.
That if, for example, you give a baby a bottle and it drinks some of the milk, and the backwash, some of the baby's backwash goes back into the bottle and has infectious stuff in it, like staph or whatever, bacteria. Within minutes, it will all be destroyed by the macrophages in the milk.
Oh, right. It's like honey. It's the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So it has this incredibly amazing, like, for example, if you have like a small cut and put some breast milk on it, it'll be gone the next day.
You're going to really harass Leah a lot with this, aren't you?
Well, it's just incredible.
You produce a miracle fluid.
Yes, it is a miracle fluid.
Okay.
You got pink eye a little bit there? Gone.
Really?
Yep.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
It is like the ultimate Kryptonian superfood.
Okay.
Which makes me wonder why we just don't drink it like from cradle to the grave.
Yeah, so why do we bother with the cows?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So anyway, it's pretty amazing.
Okay.
And then a lot of it was like how to actually, you know, breastfeeding is not,
it doesn't just work out
right. So they had a couple that came in, and she sat in the center of the room and breastfed her baby, and we all watched and showed us how it works.
This seems like a Larry David situation.
I guess it could be.
Seems like LD walks up and starts asking a series of, like, were you allowed to ask questions and stuff?
Yeah, we asked questions. It was all very mature. It wasn't like, hoo, 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 hoo.
How did you handle this?
I handled it like a mature adult would.
That is fascinating to me.
Why? You don't think I can handle that?
I'm really impressed with you so far. I think that this whole baby thing is, you know, this is a growth step.
Anyway, the point being that Industrial Revolution comes along, formula bottles, and this is how babies are fed now.
Everything's like, better from machines. Yeah.
And there's a generational culture. Like, one of the questions you asked, like, how many of you have a memory like a child of like breastfeeding, or like does it seem like a thing that was in your life? And a lot of people said, most people said no, because it's just been gone from our culture for a long time. People of course still do it, but it's been very much diminished by bottles.
Dirty, sinful business you do in the back room.
I'm trying to remember what some of the other things she was saying that was really interesting. Oh, so like, for example, the reason why the nipple and the areola around it is darker than the skin around it is that when babies are born, they have very, very limited vision. They can only see about a
five
foot
inches,
in front of their face, and they're very, very blurry. So that when they're initially looking, they can pick out the dark area of the nipple and home in on it.
Interesting.
That's why it's there. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah. So it was amazing. I learned, and there's like 50 other things that I want to tell you, but I can't recall right now. But
taking better notes. Amazing. Did you take notes?
Or did you
assume Leah's going to remember?
We got like
this
a booklet to take away that basically summarized it all. We watched a couple of videos, and like I said, the live demo was very interesting. And what else was there was a whole thing about, like, you know, right after you give birth. This is another thing that's changed, is like typically when nowadays in hospital births, mm-hmm. in modern births, when the baby is born, the first thing they will do is like cut the cord and take it away to be weighed and wrapped up and cleaned and stuff. Whereas what the hippy dippy natural birth people will tell you, and this is the way it's supposed to be, is that as soon as the baby is born, the very first thing that you should do is put it on the mother for that skin to skin contact, and it should stay there for like an hour. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of like pheromone and hormonal bonding and connections and things that happen in that initial period that you don't want to compromise. There's all kinds of, you know, just very deep hormonal bonding type connection things that you want to ensure happen between the mother and the baby.
Gesticulation for the, right. Yeah. For the hippies.
You know, the drum circle.
It was. I went in there. You know, as you know, I'm a little bit skeptical about, you know, hippie granola, new age type stuff. Yeah. But it made a lot of sense from a scientific perspective.
I think Chloe needs to go out.
Okay.
Hey, Gina.
Away from this conversation.
Gina. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Gina, the dog needs to go out.
Hey, Gary, tell me about your Asian delicacy experience.
Hold on. Are we done?
Is this actually making you uncomfortable?
Norm is very nervous.
What is it? What, you, no, is
I'm
it like
nervous.
Miracle of life? Yeah. Anytime Norm says no, I'm not nervous, and shakes his head to the right, that always means nervous as hell.
Left.
Oh well. Okay.
Would you freak out if you were like in a mall, like at a cafeteria, like, and the woman started at a table next to you started breastfeeding?
Yeah. I don't think that you should like don't you give warning. I mean,
so if that what so what,
you all well, she's like, attention, attention, internet viewers. I don't have a problem with it.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you? Think it's weird.
No mature adult enough. Should have a problem right. with it. It's the most natural thing in the world. It is literally the most natural thing in the world. Yes. Apart from maybe shitting.
Pooping. Yeah, everybody yeah. poops.
I'd be more comfortable with that than someone peeing in a Mountain Dew bottle.
That's yeah, but I did that in private. I wouldn't expect that to be
you
okay.
You were in the cab of your car. Your window's really heavily tinted or anything?
I wouldn't do that at like in like a shopping mall yeah. food court and be like, what's your fucking problem? If someone was like looking at me as I'm pissing into a bottle. That's the most natural thing in the world. What's the matter with you?
Everybody pisses. Uromycetitis.
You're so uptight, man.
It sort of knocked on your window as that was happening. That
do
was
you stop?
The most awkward.
Does that
no,
like
I had a good recce first to make sure that I wasn't going to get busted.
You don't want to induce an exposure outside Pixar on your record. That would be real bad.
Oh, I actually just remembered one that was worse than that, but I'm not going to talk now.
Oh, no.
Let's take that offline. Anything else from the baby classes? Any other horrors of science?
There weren't any
learning?
Horrors. It was all fascinating.
That's
and,
good.
And it was very, very interesting.
You seem very serene now. It's just because you had a late
it
lunch breakfast.
You know, it plays and it changes things. It changes the way you look at the world. It's really amazing.
Cool. Hey, Norm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had something you wanted to talk about. Oh,
no, I wanted Gary to
Gary's
talk about
Asian delicacies.
Asian delicacy.
Oh, so I was kind of connected. So coming back from the baby class ran late.
Okay.
And by the time we got back, it was at 10 p.m. cutoff. We hadn't eaten, so we were starving. We wanted to get like grab some KFC or something on the way home. But like it's 10 o'clock, everything's closing. It's kind of stupid how a lot of the chain places don't go later than 10.
Taco Bell's open until midnight, fourth meal.
This one wasn't.
Oh.
Couldn't find a drive-through, so we ended up finding one of these. It was like one of those like boba tea type places.
Oh, God, okay,
yeah.
And but they also had, you know,
snacks,
regular food, and they had curry fish balls.
Yeah,
99 cents a skewer. And
was,
I'd
was
never
it a Quickly's.
It wasn't a Quickly's. It was called something tea. It was right next, but it was right next door to the. Yeah. It was right next door to the Quickly. Leah got a slice of pizza from the Quickly, and I went to the place
went,
next door.
Pizza at a boba tea place.
Well, it was just one of those
sometimes
places.
But yes, you can buy.
It's like formula. You got to eat to live.
And they were like in a deep fryer, and she skewered three of these little balls onto
like
a stick. 99 cents each, and I bought two because I didn't want too much. It was late, and they were really tasty.
They are
my new thing: curry fish balls.
Fish balls in general, like
oh, they really hit the spot.
Yeah, they're like fish sticks, but you know, in ball
and
form.
And it's right in my neighborhood too.
It's not like fish sticks, but it's not actually
not
like,
breaded.
No, but the fish isn't like the texture isn't like a fish stick or a filet of fish. It is, it's like a meatball, but fish meat.
Oh, yeah. So it's ground,
and it's right across the street. Okay. It's right
it's
in my neighborhood, like right where my post office is, where my bank is, where my favorite donut place is. It's like it's added a new facet to this area.
I like that.
So now, whenever I'm a little peckish, I'll go get some curry fish balls. So she took them out of the fryer, and I remember looking at them going, this is either going to be the worst thing ever or my new favorite thing. And happily, it was my new favorite thing.
Well, who doesn't like fried fish? As a purveyor of the filet of fish, I would assume that fish balls would be right up your alley.
You have like fish patties, too. They're really good.
Yeah, I'm sure I would. I love fish cake like that you get in Thai restaurants. Mm. Yeah.
We get the fish sausages sometimes, like the salmon sausages that they have in the fancy sausage section at Whole Foods or Lenardi's or something.
Yeah.
And those are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
With some arugula.
I'm usually a little bit afraid of those kind of boba tea things. Cause like you order something off the menu, but when you actually get it, like, what the fuck is this?
You can get squid there.
Yeah.
And cuttlefish.
Oh my God, I forgot to talk about it. But I tried spherification last week.
Okay.
I bought all the stuff to do it, the sodium alginate and all that stuff. And I was going to try to make coffee spheres to go on top of vanilla ice cream, thinking I would have like a little affogato type thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Freeze your coffee?
Oh, no. Sphere the coffee and put it on the vanilla ice cream. So I did a lot of reading, and there's not a whole lot of recipes and stuff. You know, did we talk about spherification with you, Gary?
I don't remember.
So it's where you take a liquid and you make a thin like gel shell around it to make it like fake caviar like they have at fancy restaurants now.
Okay.
Most people do it with like olive oil or
an olive.
They make it olive oil that looks like an olive, or they'll make I'm completely blanking on stuff here, but miso soup into little balls that go on top of something that's fruit. Whatever.
All right. Caviar.
Puree, fake caviar.
Yeah.
So I made them and they looked right, but they didn't taste very good. I think I fucked something up along the way. But it's really weird because you dripper the liquid out into the bath with the. So the way it works is you take the sodium alginate stuff, which basically when exposed to liquid that has calcium in it, makes a gel from the outside in when you hit the calcium on it. And then you put the sodium alginate in the liquid you want to make the spheres of, and then you dripper that into a bath that has calcium chloride, which is just calcium salt, basically. Nothing bad. So the calcium sets up the gel, and then you scoop it out with a little slotted spoon or a sieve or something like that, and rinse them off and dump them on your food. But they tasted weird.
What's the point of having spherical food balls? I don't.
So when you put them in your mouth, then they kind of explode, and you get this. Initially, you taste nothing, and you're like, oh, okay, that's weird, and then they pop I'm trying to think, like some sort of Sour Patch Candy or something like that.
I just want more curry fish balls. I think I'm gonna have to stop off at that place on the way home.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Where is this again? This is at like 9th and Irving.
It's down on Irving. Yeah, it's kind of in my neighborhood, and there's a whole bunch of those kind of little Asian. Tea places. And
I like late open places. I was my go-to for late night food is the Korean barbecue place over on Geary, the one with the ladies that wear nice clothes, and it's open till like 2 a.m.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I think we should go get food.
Okay,
or just get food.
All right, whatever. Yeah, I mean, all this happens every time, right? We talk about food and we get hungry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good
all
show,
right,
guys.
Very good.
Talk to you all later.
Well done.
See you next week. Well, we'll be back next Thursday with another episode of
the I remembered test. Something else about babies, but I'll tell you next time.
No, tell us now. No. Do it.
No.
Norm can't take it. Norm can't take any more of the baby talk.
I don't get it. You say it doesn't make you uncomfortable.
I'm hungry.
No, it makes him super uncomfortable.
You've been squirming the whole time.
I know that if you start, it will be another 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
His voice
minutes.
Went up and cracked when he said, no, it doesn't make me uncomfortable.
All this talk of nipples and...
Yeah, areola.
I must admit, when they started talking about like one of the common problems with breastfeeding apparently is sore nipples.
Yeah.
And you can have like yeast start growing out of your nipples and things.
Oh, okay.
If the baby doesn't latch on the right way, you can have nipple problems. And I'm getting like sympathetic nipple issues.
Well,
yeah.
What's funny to me is the whole time you're talking about it, you're hand gesturing right in the nipple area, right? So your hands are all like right here and you keep pointing and it's funny.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of talk about like, you know, hand expressing.
What? Oh, you mean like milking?
So you can use a pump, you know, obviously, but you can also just like, you know, squeeze your...
Really?
She showed a technique where you can
like
squeeze your breast. Yeah, to get the... To make the... basically.
Fascinating.
You can milk yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you milk a cat? Okay.
Yes, yeah, so you can milk anything with nipples.
You can milk anything with
Robert
nipples.
De Niro.
Very good. See you guys later. Thanks for listening. Bye.